All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast. Went through some technical difficulties, but I'm here with Brandon. How are you doing today?
Not bad, Rob. Not bad, Shane. How you guys doing?
Doing great. I'm like 4 feet from Robert right now, so.
Yeah, we're like right next to each other here because Shane doesn't have NFL Network. What broadcast provider do you use? Are you on like Xfinity or something?
Yes.
That's why.
It's extra. And I was like, you know, I just get it. And then I see the price. I'm like, never mind.
the OGs don't call it Xfinity. We call it Comcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you hear some echo, it's literally because we are literally right next to each other.
But I'm going to try my best to mute whenever I'm not talking, which luckily I can do it pretty easily. I just have a mute key. So then we won't have the problem as much. But, you know.
Yeah. 40 times, Brandon. What are we thinking here for the running backs? What is your head at here with the 40s?
You know, so far some of these guys have been pretty fast. You have some guys running 4.5s, you know, 4.4s, but you know, a few guys have ran 4.3s, and that's faster than I thought that they would run. You know, the leader right now is Isaac Garendo. You know, he's got a 4.33. Blake Corum is up now. We know what he did at Michigan this past year. He ran a 4.53 his first time out, but on the second run, I'm looking for 4.4 here because I know he's 4.4. You know, Estime is out here. My boy Bucky Irving is out here. So we're going to see how this goes. But so far, a lot of these guys have been pretty fast. So, you know, hoping that trend continues as Blake Corum does his run here and he ends up with a slower 4.58. I think Blake Corum at his peak can be a 4.4 guy. So it's probably going to be ran a 4.58. I mean, they do comps, right? So we're looking at this right now. They're comparing him to, I love how they say 2014 Devontae Freeman.
Well, that's when he came out of the draft.
Shane, I know.
Shane, do you see one LA Chargers looking at Blake Corum pretty heavily here?
I mean, I could see it. The Chargers are interesting because there's a lot of different directions they could go with the first round, especially with Harbaugh, because he's very, you know, he likes what he likes, but he's also like new to the NFL, so. It's kind of, you know, I could see them going with the first round. I could see them going receiver. I could see them going like Brock Bowers. I could also see them going defense. I don't know. Especially like corner. But yeah, it's, you know, especially if they don't get Austin Ekeler back, which who knows? I could definitely see them going running back because he is very much a run happy coach. So yeah, I think it would work. Cause he's kind of a, you know, more physical back, which is obviously what Harbaugh likes.
Brandon, your thoughts on what the Chargers might do in this draft?
I mean, you know, I knowing that Harbaugh is run heavy, we saw that Michigan. We also saw that, you know, back when he was still the Niners coach. I don't think you can go. I mean, knowing how Austin Ekeler was used in LA, being kind of both a pass catcher and a, you know, obviously a traditional running back. I like when guys stay on the West Coast. So for me, I like a guy like Bucky Irving. Just because he can do both really well. He can do both really well. We all saw it at Oregon, especially me. I watched all their games this year. And he just does everything really well. He's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. He can rip off, you know, it seems like 7-8 yard gains at will. He's explosive. Like he can literally be exactly what Ekeler has been for this team. And he doesn't have to go too far. I mean, he has to, you know, he's going to LA. But I mean, cause I, you know, I like Corum, but I feel like Corum is more of, is kind of a tougher kind of running back. But I don't think with the way that, I mean, I know Harbaugh likes him. That's obviously his guy, but, at the same time, I think that's probably where they're going to go just because why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We, you know, might as well go with the same coach, but, I just think that Irving is probably the better, I guess, scheme fit. But we'll see. I think either one of those guys has a good chance of going there. I can't see any of the other guys really going there. Those two are probably the top of the list for Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Brandon,
some of these guys.
For your Oregon guys, Brandon, what are you looking for today?
Well, I mean, we've seen Bucky Irving run his 40 already, so, you know, we know he's kind of a low 4-5 guy. And, you know, I mean, as a running back, you know, that's where a lot of them tend to be. You know, you want to be faster, but, and some of them will get faster, you know, we always know that 40s are the thing that everybody looks at when it comes to running backs in all positions, but at the same time, you know, in a career, you can get faster and all this stuff. As Irving just ran a 4.58, so he's a mid 4.5 guy. I think he can be a high 4.4 guy, but we'll see. But as far as the Oregon guys, I want to see how Bo Nix comes out. Bo Nix, to me, is the guy that I know people aren't sleeping on him, but I don't understand why people don't have him as a potential maybe first rounder or early second rounder because the guy is, I mean, like, I know he's very seasoned. Same thing with, Penix. But, I mean, Bo Nix was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in college last year. He can make every single throw. He can make contested throws. Like, I've seen so much out of Bo Nix. He can do anything. He can take off his legs when he needs to. He is sneaky fast. He can make almost any throw on the field. He's probably my favorite quarterback in this.
Sorry, just trying to work this.
Probably one of the best in this draft at doing that. And then later on, I think it's tomorrow we get the offensive lineman, so we're going to see Power Johnson, who is quite literally one of the best centers in college football last year. When I look at him, I mean, he does pretty much everything well, run block, pass block. He was a captain of that team. So, I mean, all these guys have so much potential, from that Oregon team. And I'm excited to see what they do. Of course, we have a couple corners coming out. I'm not too keen on the corners because they weren't great last year. And I mean, when you play in the Pac-12, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Pac-12. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Okay. Shane.
But when you play.
Take that. We're troubleshooting, you know, as we go out here.
Yeah, it happens.
Nah, take the boom out. Why? It's too good. It's too loud. I can't hear. But, Brandon, continue. Sorry for the small troubleshooting, everybody, but we're going to be good the rest of the way. Go ahead, Brandon.
You guys have a boom mic?
Yeah, we do have a boom mic.
Oh,
we do, but
God.
that's why you could hear us go like crazy. But I was like, let's troubleshoot this. Let's fix this as we go along here.
Yeah. But God. But as I'm thinking about it, I like all the Oregon guys. The only guys I'm not too keen on are DBs that are coming out into this draft because they are I mean, to be fair, they weren't that good last year. They made plays when they had to, but they weren't great. Oregon's front seven was the reason that that defense was so good last year. But you know, when it comes to the Oregon guys, Bucky Irving is my guy, Bo Nix, Jackson Powers Johnson, Troy Franklin. Those are the big four in this draft that I want to see have a good combine. And then when we get to their pro days, the pro days too. So, those are the guys I'm looking forward to. Jackson Powers Johnson. I mean, listen, I know I'm an Oregon homer. I'm also an Eagles homer. If he sheds some weight, he's literally Jason Kelce. He's the same height as him. If he sheds 20 pounds, he'd be the same weight as him. He's an absolute great pass blocker, run blocker. He's, you know, pretty strong. Now, he doesn't get beat. That's like where my comp is for him. And, we'll see how that goes later on. It's probably tomorrow, but you know, I like those four guys. And I know you guys being Washington boys, you guys got a few of, those heavy hitters.
Yeah, our tight end yesterday ran a 4.48 or something like that. So, I mean, you're looking at these Washington guys being fast. But, you know, this is something I think common trend more in the Pac-12 than the other conferences this year. A lot of the six-year COVID guys, I mean, does that change your view on a lot of these players?
No.
Not at all, Shane, for you?
No. I mean, because the thing is, they're, you know, the average guy getting drafted into the NFL is 22 or 23. So these guys are 24. Oh, big deal. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, whatever. I mean, you know, it's, if anything, I see it as a plus because they have that much more experience. If I'm a, you know, somebody in the NFL looking to draft them, but, that's just me at least. But yeah, I've told you guys this, but, of course I'm a Washington guy first, but then my second favorite team, I don't know if I've explained this on the pod before, but my second favorite team is actually Oregon, which is weird because they're like staunch rivals. but my grandpa was, he was an Oregon alum and he was very highly involved there. He was the head track official there for like 50 years. So like in the summer, I'd go down to Eugene all the time and go to track meets and, you know, all that, hang out with all of them. So it was just cool doing that. So I hated it becoming an Oregon fan, but I just kind of did. You know, so, but anyways, I couldn't help it, but yeah, all that being said, I really like what both of them are bringing this year. Troy Franklin, I think is, yeah, like Brandon said, he's one of the more underrated guys in that class, coming out of Oregon. I mean, to me, he's not, you know, he's not anything, he doesn't have that pop or that like special quality that, you know, like top three or four receivers have, but to me, he's just really consistent, which is not a bad thing. I mean, you know, I kind of see him being like, I don't know what's a good comp for him. I don't know. He kind of reminds me of sort of like a Tyler Lockett kind of guy where, you know, he's not like, wow, this is amazing, but he's good, you know, he does what he needs to do. I kind of feel like that's what he is. That's not a perfect comp, but, just off the top of my head. But I think, Roman Odunze and, Malik Nabers for me are the top two receivers in this draft.
Oh my God, no, Marvin Harrison. I'm so confused. I mean, he's not even testing because he's a top guy.
Yeah. Because what's his name? Marvin Harrison. I'm just saying, he's great. Marvin Harrison to me is the third guy in this class, third receiver. But to me, I'm just, he's very consistent, yes, and he's really good. He will be good in the pros, I'd imagine. I just, when I saw Odunze and Malik Nabers, which I saw a lot of Malik Nabers in the last few days as I was doing my quarterback evaluation, just, they're just a lot more, you know, special, quote unquote, than Marvin Harrison. You know, their ability to separate when it matters the most is,
prime Julio Jones would be making. Marvin Harrison doesn't have as much of that ability as those two guys. So, for me, they're the top two. I couldn't pick one because they're both so good, in my opinion. But yeah, no, I think Harrison would be third, probably. I think it's just, I mean, not to be a hater, but I think being the son of Marvin Harrison Sr. Has benefited him quite a bit. So, yeah, that's kind of my general thought on it. But I could be wrong. I don't know. You know, we'll see.
Brandon, your thoughts on that tape there?
You know, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. would have benefited to stay one more year at Ohio State. I know he's talented.
I agree.
I think when you're coming out of the same draft as, you know, Odunze, you know, Nabers, I mean, those guys are just better separation. They're just more technical guy. Like Marvin Harrison, he's had the wow plays in his college career where it's like, oh, he made this contested catch. Oh, he made this one-handed grab. Oh, he like, but I really never saw, compared to what Odunze does, especially, Odunze got better separation, better release. He's just better. He's a better route runner, I think. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. can make the plays just like the other two can. But I feel like he just one more year of Ohio State, you know, get, like, cause the numbers are good. They are, but one more year, dominate college football, maybe have an even better season, you know, one last time. And then go into the draft, especially when knowing that you probably would have been number one next year. Like, I know people have him as number one this year, but I do think Odunze is better too. But then again, also remember the pedigree that comes with being not just the son of one, an NFL great, but also the fact you went to Ohio State is important. Ohio State receivers, you know, this is, you know, it's just what they do. That name plus that college carries a lot of weight in this league. We know that. So, I mean, hey, you know, can't fault him for wanting to get out early, but I still think one more year would have done him good. You know, cause like Odunze, there was nothing left for him to really do. You know, he did his time. He had all 4 years in. I'm just not a fan of guys coming out early like that. You know, everybody keeps talking about, like, oh, this guy's too old, that guy's too old. I'm like, yeah, 1 or 2 years makes no difference when you come out.
It doesn't.
So, I mean, it's like, I'm just somebody that's like, you know, just go get your degree and then go to the draft. Like stop coming out early and this being your only fallback.
I feel like 26, sure, but, you know, 23, 24, nah.
I feel like if you're 24 or under, just finish it out and then go. But then if you're, you know, 25 plus, like if you're Stetson Bennett, yeah, you should have left. Because it's like, you know, he was there forever.
You could have got to rehab sooner.
Like, you know, it's, oh, and, you know, but it's true, but it's like, You know, I really like Marvin Harrison Jr.
Joke too real for the crowd.
I think when it comes to Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he has the best hands in the draft, but I don't think he's the best receiver. I think he's probably second or third, but like him and Neighbors to me are closer, but I think Odunze should be the clear number one to me. But like I said, Ohio State plus, you know, daddy's a legend. So, you know, it carries the weight.
Well, not even the fact that that's his dad. I think part of it too is the fact that his name is literally Marvin Harrison. Like people, yeah. You don't think about it, but that makes it a bit of a subconscious thought like, oh wow. It's Marvin Harrison, once again, you know. Yeah. I mean, literally, you know, so, yeah.
We're looking at Blake Moore here on the NFL Network coverage. I mean, you were talking about his size, Brandon. You thought he was much smaller than what you see on TV with pads on.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I thought he was like, you know, maybe 5'10". I'm surprised he was he was just a shade under 5'8". Like, I didn't realize he was that small. Like, I knew that he was, you know, kind of stocky built, but I thought he was more like 5'10", or at least 5'9½", something like that. I didn't think he was a shade under 5'8". That's surprising to me. I like him because he's a smaller guy. And from what he showed, he's not particularly fast. He's just a kind of a bowling ball kind of running back. And I like that from him. The only thing is just the height is concerning because, you know, smaller running backs, not many of them have succeeded in the past. They can, but I'm just concerned because, like, if you're a small running back, you got to be fast. And he really isn't. So, at least compared to some of the other guys running 4.4, you know, he's running close to 4.6. So, it's, you know, that doesn't seem like it makes a big difference, you know, because considering how fast a stopwatch goes. But that split second is literally the difference between you getting a touchdown and being stopped at, like, the 5-yard line. So, it's one of those things where, you know, I want to see what he does in the drills. This is where I feel like this is where the running backs are really going to separate themselves because you got to be able to, you know, you gotta be able to, you know, get through blocks, gotta be able to catch the ball well out of the backfield. Nowadays in the NFL, you have to do that. It's not just a traditional running back where you're just, you know, get the ball in your hands out of the backfield and go. You gotta be able to just show that you have a very well-rounded skill set. So this is where we're gonna see guys, you know, really break away from the pack. And this is where Blake Corum should do well. This is where Bucky Irving should do well. This is where Benson could do well. You know, estimate. These are where the guys that you know their names. Oh, and actually, here's my favorite. Starting first, Braylon Allen. No one talks about him. The guy is a physical freak of nature. Braylon Allen's insane. I don't know why no one talks about him. I don't care that he's young. I don't care that he's 20. The guy is so gifted. I know the other guys are the guys that are more seasoned. They're going to be the first five. My favorite running back in this draft is Braylon Allen. That kid came in at, what, 17 years old into college. Not even 18 yet. He was running over 22-year-old guys like it was water. Like, that's insane. But the other guys, you know, I like this drill. This is going to show how quick your feet are and, you know, just how shifty you are. So this is a good drill to start to see where these guys are at. So we'll see how this goes as this plays out.
Yeah, Shane, what are you looking for in this draft?
I think, you know, looking at, for me, it's looking at how, once you come out of that, how quickly you can get through the shuffle there, and then, because you don't have much time to react to the foam dummy being moved. So, you know, seeing how quickly guys can get around it without having to, like, overcorrect too much, if that makes sense. I think Corum did a good job of that. I mean, a lot of these guys have, but the guy from Wisconsin looked the best to me so far. I forget his name, but
yeah, Braylon Allen.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's the problem with them. Oh, here's Irving. Yeah, not bad. That's the thing with you know, guys like Corum is you know, in the NFL, I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, kind of a trucker like he is, be able to plow through guys in college, especially in the Big Ten where your defensive competition isn't that great. And then getting to the NFL where defenders are a lot bigger, stronger, a lot quicker. More importantly, they're a lot smarter, you know, and so it's going to be interesting to see. Well, that was good. Killian Robinson. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he translates to the NFL just at his size and given the fact that he's not super fast. I don't know. I'm intrigued.
And we're talking about that off tackle drill here. I mean, we're talking about these guys being able to shift from left to right, get to the hole. That's kind of the big thing here that we're seeing for a lot of these guys. That is it for the group. But go ahead.
I really wish we would have saw Frank Gore Jr. and Braylon Allen run the 40.
Yeah, we did not see Frank Gore. Tell me more about your thought on Frank Gore Jr., Brandon, because he's one of the more intriguing prospects in this class.
I mean, he's literally like, he's like the spitting image of his dad in terms of looks. You know, like I remember seeing comments during the season. They were like, is that just Frank Gore with a different haircut? Because I mean, like, and you know, Frank Gore was 5'9", you know, 210. You know, his son is 5'8", almost 200. They're almost the same. The only thing that kind of goes against, you know, Frank Gore Jr., I mean, is the fact he came from a small school. You know, his dad obviously went to Miami, especially when Miami was pretty good. And, you know, when you play in the Sun Belt, you're not going to get a lot of eyes on you. You know, so his numbers are great. I mean, you look at it, he did all 4 years there. He really kind of, you know, he wasn't much of a pass catching running back, but he can if need be. It was funny. They used him at some points as a quarterback. He actually has passing numbers.
He does, yeah.
But his numbers were really good. I mean, he averaged 5.3 yards a carry in college. He almost had 4,000 yards total rushing in his career. His last 2 years were great, especially his 2022 season. He had over 6 yards a carry. You know, so he's definitely, you know, pretty explosive. You know, I think it's probably just his father. Not
he's a little faster than him though, isn't he?
A little bit. Yeah, he's a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit. But I like him. He's, you know, I really wish we would have saw him run the 40 because, I mean, he was pretty smooth in that drill we just saw. He didn't have a lot of, wiggle, but he got around. So, you know, He's very smooth, it looks like, when he runs. You know, compared to some of the guys that were a little bit more sloppier with the feet. He looked good, Braylon Allen looked good, but Frank Gore Jr., I know his name, just like Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, is Frank Gore Jr. You know, his name carries the weight. But we'll see, you know, where he goes, because usually those smaller school guys, you know, they kind of get forgotten about. And, like, whereas Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, he went to Ohio State. you know, Frank Gore Jr. went to the Sun Belt and went to the, you know, the Golden Eagles. So it's a lot, it's kind of different. But he still should go. He should get drafted in a pretty respectable position, I would think, just because the name, what he did in college was impressive. You know, it might not have been at the highest, you know, facing the highest competition, but we'll see what happens with him. But he looks good so far in that first drill.
There we go, the second drill here. Brandon, do you know who the quarterbacks are that are handing the balls off and throwing?
I don't think I do. I actually don't think I do.
It's Kellen Mond and Trace McSorley.
Oh, okay.
I like them of all people.
Yeah, I legit have no idea who Kellen Mond is, but I know
Kellen Mond, former Minnesota Viking.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I was gonna say, I barely saw him play. I saw him play in college more than I saw him play in the NFL. Yeah. But Trace McSorley, I know, but Trace McSorley, like, I remember a lot of people, when he was coming out of Penn State, I'm like, this guy's not a good quarterback. Stop it.
What did he go, like fourth round, man. Fifth round, something like that?
Sixth.
Sixth, Jesus.
He wasn't that good at Penn State.
Trace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kellen Mond was like a
third. Kellen Mond was like a third in that league, right?
Yeah, he was like second or third.
I thought, I do remember Kellen Mond coming in the draft. I thought he was going to be better than what he was, honestly. Yeah. I didn't think he was going to be great, but I thought he was going to be better than what he was.
Who's this guy on the broadcast in the middle?
Who is that? I'm trying to remember. It's one of like the big mock draft guys. I just don't remember who.
This guy's probably more accurate than DJ and Mel Kiper and all those guys combined.
Mel Kiper's an idiot. No offense to him.
Jesus.
Mel Kiper has a job. Oh, I mean, I like, we're an NFL pod, but Mel Kiper literally has a job for no reason other than he was just the first one, like the first one to go mainstream with it.
Yeah.
Being like a mock draft.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, it's just because the first one doesn't mean he was right. there's a compilation of how many times he's been wrong.
I think he had Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. You remember that? I think so.
Oh my God, bro! Why? we weren't, you know, really born yet. We didn't get to see those guys play in college. But looking at their highlight tape, where do you see Ryan Leaf being better than Peyton Manning?
Jesus! Oh my God!
You went to Washington State, bro. Come on.
Pack two. While we have some time, let's talk X-Men 2000. Shane, I know you didn't really get a chance to watch the movie, but you can still talk about it at length. Brandon, what was your reaction to watching that film once again, as we're going to go through the oeuvre of the X-Men films of the next 6 months, getting ready for Deadpool Wolverine?
Oh, there's so much meme potential with that movie. There's so many, you know, quotable lines from it. The movie's almost 25 years old. It'll be 25 years old next year. That's so crazy to think about.
That's not okay.
but it's going to go through its own quarter life crisis. Like, you know, some of the things in the movie kind of don't hold up, but it holds up very well for a movie that was made when we were born. It's just, you know, there's so many iconic, obviously, lines in it. You know, when you first get to see Hugh Jackman in the cage as Wolverine, it's such a cool moment. The acting is great. I'm not a fan of Halle Berry, but she's good in this movie, even though her role is very limited. It's one of those things where it's like, there's so many actors, this is where, like, a lot of them, not, I shouldn't say went from being unknown to known, because some of them were known a little bit before this, but, this is where a lot
of A-list.
Yeah, this is where basically almost all of them became A-listers. And it's just, but you can see why. They were all great in this movie. They all, God, there's so many great scenes. It's funny because usually superhero movies, like when I watch them nowadays, they're not acted particularly well. And this one is pretty, the acting's good. I mean, like I said, this is why these guys became A-listers after this. But, like, you know, it's one of those things where I can watch this movie, and nowadays we get superhero movies that are like 2.5 hours long. It's only an hour and a half, or a little over an hour and a half.
It's hours. It goes by. It's like an hour and a half. Yeah.
It goes by fast, and it's such a fun ride because it's just nonstop from start to finish. It's like there's not a dull moment in this movie. There's not a movie where you're looking at it like, wow, I'm bored. At least not for me. I looked at it and I'm like, I'm not bored with this at all. Like, some superhero movies nowadays, they're either too long or have unnecessary dialogue or scenes. Like, it's really everything this movie had a purpose. That's what I like about it. And just the fact that, I mean, I am a Wolverine fan. I love Wolverine as a character. I also, happy Wolverine fans, since one of the greatest players in my team's history. His nickname was the Wolverine, or Weapon X. That's Brian Dawkins. So I just love it. But this movie was so good. I don't have any complaints about it. I can see why it's you know, stood the test of time. You know, it's still, from critics and fans alike, still has like almost like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. And there's my boy Deuce Daly. But I, you know, this movie, so many great actors, so many great lines. You know, obviously, you know, you're like, you know, the Wolverine lines, like the "Hey, bub" thing.
Also, or, can I know, just say, what would you rather have? Yellow spandex? Yes, I would have rather had yellow spandex. I'm so tired.
Yeah,
these old movies, like, do not even care about the actual comic book accuracy. They were so afraid to do it. It's insane.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, cause you know why? Around that time, too, like, around the new millennium, like, or I should say the new century, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, you know, around that Y2K, they were all concerned with style over substance, over quality of it. Like, it was all just about, hey, how can you make this look, like, as cool as it can be, rather than, like, so they, you know, instead of sacrificing accuracy for style. Cause a lot of movies did this, you know, that's why they also said, like, when Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man came out, they were concerned with how it looked rather than the actual accuracy to it. Cause that's why they said Andrew Garfield's later on was the most comically accurate. But with this one, it's the one that revived a lot of interest in superhero movies. Cause before this, you know, in the 90s, you had kind of a fall. Like, there wasn't anything great. Like, Batman was not great. Obviously, we know the history with that in the 90s. You know, Superman was almost non-existent. Like, that was the 70s into the 80s thing.
Dude, Batman and Robin was a fantastic movie. What are you talking about?
Right.
It's the greatest comic book movie ever.
No,
I'm kidding. It is a fun watch just because of how bad it is, though.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, this one was, like, this one was, like, okay, we're going to take this serious now and not have it be, like, you know, it was still somewhat jokey. It had its, you know, one-liners and stuff. Like, the part of my favorite scene is, like, when like, Wolverine comes back after fighting Mystique and they're, like, you know, prove it. Like, prove who you are. He's, like, you're a dick. He's, like, okay.
Shane, I know you really get a chance, sir, anytime you really watch this film, but what is your opinion on, like, the early X-Men films, like, from your recollection? Think about kind of what it meant for comic books. Talk a little bit about the cast, because obviously we're kind of remembering this universe as it's about to end here and kind of get its quote-unquote unnatural conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that a lot of these people would still be playing these characters this many years later. You know, it's interesting because this was this was really like the first, you know, mainstream superhero team up movie, right? I mean, you got the Avengers, in 2012 and then Justice League in 2017. Well,
we count Zack Snyder's version. Thank you.
I'm just saying technically, but yes, I agree. Yeah, the Joss Whedon cut that should go up in a museum of garbage. anyways, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, no, it was like the first legit one, and it was like Brandon said, it was very well cast. Everybody. You know, it's like they just jumped right off the page. It's like, oh yeah, okay, this is what this person would be like. And, which hadn't really, up until that point, you didn't really see that a whole lot in comic book movies. I mean, the closest you got was like Batman and Joker in the 89 movie. But, and like Christopher Reeves was, you know, pretty decent Superman, obviously, but anyways, and I think, you know, the thing that the early X-Men movies did so well was it not only, you know, did they move at a good pace, mostly because they were short, but also because every character feels like they are in the story for a reason. You know what I mean? It's not like there's anybody who's just kind of there. That was like one of the big problems with the Justice League 2017 is, you know, half the characters it's just like half the characters. It was like, okay, but like, why are you in this movie? Like,
why can't you run, Flash? Why can't you run?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, everybody feels like they matter, and which is hard to do in a movie with so many characters. But if you look at the best X-Men movies, in my opinion, X1, X2, and Days of Future Past, who's the director? Bryan Singer, all three of them. And say what you want about the guy, he's kind of a pedo.
Oh my god. We'll entail that more when we get to Days of Future Past.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't like him as a person. I think he's, you know, gross because of all that. Obviously, but as a director, especially for X-Men, he's great. You know, it's just kind of like, it's kind of like Kevin Spacey, where I don't, obviously I hate the guy, but like, he is very talented, you know, so, anyways, yeah, I think that's, you know, in general, I just think it was really well cast, especially the main three. Hugh Jackman, yeah, he's a little tall for the role, but it's like, well, who cares? I mean, if you got the guy, you got the guy. And Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, obviously fantastic. Halle Berry, like you said, great. I think it's really well cast, and it's just fun. You know, it's the perfect, you know, in the early 2000s, the comic book movie, or like, you know, 90s, early 2000s, the comic book movies were very, you know, they were very campy, very cheesy, but it was like, yeah, whatever. That was just how it was then. It wasn't until like 2005, Batman Begins, when you started to get more, you know, comic book movies that took themselves more seriously, but for this era, it's like, yeah, this works. But, anyways.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed this. I watched this in 4K, and I was actually amazed. I mean, talking about movies of this era being up converted to 4K, it doesn't really look that great. Most of these movies are not built for 4K or 1080p for that matter. This movie held up tremendously, and you would think the CGI has some issues, and it does, but it held up really good. I think that's kind of my biggest surprise, is kind of seeing how well this kind of holds up. And obviously, as we get to X2, we get to First Class, we get to Days of Future Past, we get to Logan, we'll obviously see that improve tremendously. But what movies are you guys looking forward to most for us in sort of this oeuvre of X-Men movies? Brandon, you go first. What movies are you most looking forward to discussing as we go through the next 6 months here?
Well, obviously, I mean, it's the first one's pretty easy. It's X2. That one, everything I've heard about it, at least, I've seen bits and pieces, but never really the full movie. But I think that from what I've seen, everybody says it's the bigger, badder, better, successor to this movie. So I'm excited for that. Everybody seems to love it. Compared to the Last Stand, which just bombed.
We are not going to watch the bad ones, okay? I'm just telling you all this right now. We are not watching X-Men Origins Wolverine. I don't want to see Deadpool's mouth get shut. We're good. I don't want to do it.
And for anybody that missed it, you saw it in the mid-credits scene of, what was it, Deadpool 1?
Deadpool 2.
2.
One or two.
Two. Cable's time watch.
Yeah, I can't keep track of what scenes happen where in these movies anymore, especially with the mid credits and post credits. But yeah, when it comes to that, X2 is great. Logan is the one I've seen all the way through. Logan, I that is incredible. From start to finish.
We're going to do that towards the end, because yeah, Logan is going to be connected to what we're going to see in Deadpool Wolverine.
Yeah, and we're doing the prequels, right?
Which ones?
Are we doing what? We're doing what? Days of Future Past.
We're doing, I think, X2, First Class, Days of Future Past, Logan, both Deadpools.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen both Deadpools. I can't say enough about those. I think in terms of like what my favorite, just well done of them is definitely Logan.
Yeah, Logan's. I can't wait to do Logan. I know Shane, you and I were talking about us doing Logan during the season, and now to get to actually do it over the next 6 months here is going to be really cool.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily my favorite comic book movie ever, but I think it's the most well-made. And yes, I do put it over The Dark Knight for that, although that is great too. It's, I just think Logan has more to say than Dark Knight, if that makes sense. For starters, it has the more complete protagonist, which, that's always a good thing. Because in The Dark Knight, Bruce Wayne, let's be honest, he doesn't really develop much. He just kind of shows up, Joker must die, or not die, but you know.
Yeah, we're doing Dark Knight in 2 weeks, so it's going to be interesting to watch that again.
Because, I think, having Heath Ledger's Joker in that movie, he's so amazing that it kind of, you forget about the other elements of it, which, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, yeah. Anyways, my favorite comic book movie, like the one that I just enjoy watching the most, is Infinity War. That's partially because the theater experience was insane. But I think Logan is the most well made, probably. Cause that feels like that's the one that doesn't feel like a comic book movie. It just feels like a really well done neo-Western movie that happens to have comic book characters in it,
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. I'm really excited for First Class. I first X-Men movie I ever watched was Days of Future Past, actually. But then I went back and watched First Class and kind of went from there. First Class is just a great reset. We're going to talk about, as we go through this, just how fucked this continuity is. It's the most fucked thing ever. And
It goes back and forth so much.
It's the worst. I mean, look, nobody seemed to care anyway. I think, based on what I'm hearing, we'll probably get some of those continuities fixed in Deadpool and Wolverine. But, you know, I just, it's so fucked. And we're going to talk about how fucked it is. Mostly we get to Days of Future Past, where they sort of reset it, but don't really, because they just ignore it once Apocalypse starts. But, which we won't watch Apocalypse, thank God. But that First Class is good to me. First Class is just a really fun sort of reset. Get to see the relationship between Magneto and Professor Charles Xavier. So that's gonna be super cool. Love so many scenes in that movie. But obviously Days of Future Past is gonna be super fun. But yeah, that's kind of what we're looking forward to here. We're also gonna do Dark Knight. We're gonna do The Martian. Probably do some watch longs as well. We have a couple lists of watch long movies we'll get to. We just finished watching the Texas Drill. Shane, talk about the importance of that route in an NFL scheme. I mean, you're talking about teams like the 49ers like to use that a lot. What does that angle, Texas route, mean? And why do you think this is an important drill to see for these running backs here?
Well, yeah, I mean, especially in today's NFL where it's so pass heavy. You know, that's a good route because in terms of schematics, it's really interesting where that route, I mean, it seems so simple, but depending on what your linebacker, depending on what the opposing linebackers are doing, you can really create a lot of open space there, based on what, tight ends and slot receivers are doing, because if they are doing, let's say, a flat or a corner, maybe a slant route, it oftentimes will draw linebackers away. And so then you just have this nice open check down. We just saw it there with Gibbs, Jahmyr Gibbs. But, yeah, and that's being able to execute that as a back successfully, it's important for a lot of the short game, especially in, these more West Coast schemes that are becoming so much more popular these days, such as the Shanahan, McVay people, because, seems like now that's like a requirement, and so your head coach has to come from their tree. Or not your head coach, but your offensive person, which, say what you want about that, but anyways. So yeah, that's my thought on it.
And Brandon, you're looking at the footwork, especially at the top of these routes. Talk about like what you're seeing in the footwork for a lot of these guys, particularly Blake Corum. You've shown a lot of good footwork here so far.
Yeah, so far some of these guys that haven't had to do it as much in college, you can see them kind of slipping when they come around the, that tight, the tight turn they got to take. But, you can see that the running backs that are probably going to be the most useful in this draft to their teams are going to be the ones that can catch the ball out of the backfield as well as just show up. Like, you gotta be, just at any position, you gotta be well-rounded. So, the best running backs are going to be the ones that can pass catch and also can show that, hey, I've got good footwork. Like, running back, obviously, in the name, run, you gotta have good footwork. But a lot of these guys have shown good footwork so far. I mean, the last part of it is just finishing the catch. But, here goes Blake Corum again. Yeah, that was pretty good. But when I look at these guys, you gotta, footwork is also what helps sell a route. Not just, the angle you take, not just the how explosive you are, but your footwork is what's going to be able to, that's the difference between getting a linebacker to bite on something and maybe a slight hesitation and getting them and then being able to stick with you and get a pass breakup. And it's his NFL, like I was saying before, you gotta have running backs that are multifaceted. They can't be just pass catchers and they can't just be, you know, straight up, run first guys out of the backfield. You need both. That's why Christian McCaffrey is so successful. That's why DeAndre Swift was successful with Philly. That's why these guys can get 1,000 yards both on the ground and in the air. And that's what makes them so dynamic. And that's what makes these guys great at what they do because they're just so multifaceted. And there goes Bucky Irving, my boy. He was one of the best at doing that for Bo Nix and in the Oregon system last year, or really the past 2 years. But yeah, it's important. The footwork for these guys is so important. You gotta, you know, that first step, we always talk about it for receivers too, but that first step is so important. And just, you know, how you explode, especially running back, your power comes through, you know, from your legs. You gotta be able to have, you know, look at Saquon Barkley, you know, calming, you know, he's a quad god. His legs are the size of tree trunks. You look at AJ Dillon, his leg, they call him Quadzilla for God's sake. These guys are all, I mean, they're here for a reason. You gotta be successful in the NFL. If you're a running back to be successful in the NFL, you gotta have good footwork. That's first and foremost. And then you develop, you know, your game around that. So these guys so far, I mean, they're doing a pretty good job. There's some missed catches, but that's more of a hands thing that they'll work on, you know, if they get drafted, whoever they get drafted by. Braylon Allen's gonna probably, I think Braylon Allen, as much as I like him, as much as he's probably my favorite running back that I've seen, he needs to work on the pass catching part of his game because Bucky Irving does it well. Blake Corum has so far done it well in this combine. You know, those guys are showing up. But it's all part of it. You know, these drills are so important. You know, how you come out the backfield is so important. You know, how you sell certain plays in the NFL to linebackers, because obviously linebackers are going to be the ones that are on the running backs. So it's all part of the game, and these are the basics. This is 101, footwork 101. So this is what you want to see. Who is the best of the bunch out of these drills?
Yeah, we're done with the drills there. Love my stuff from Dylan Johnson out of Washington as well. Shane, let's get it started, man. Talk about the quarterbacks here. And we're going to get to it in a little while, but talk about your evaluation of these quarterbacks as you've been watching film, Gary, for this combine.
All right, so I did a lot of tape review, amongst other things, on the top six guys, top six quarterbacks in this draft, the guys who, you know, are kind of getting first round buzz. I'm sure not all of them will go in the first round, but anyways. So I've ranked them in terms of not how talented they are, but how NFL ready I think they are. And, you know, how well I think their game basically will translate into the NFL. So, that being said, I went through these guys and I will say this list will change depending on where they end up. Because ultimately scheme fit and, you know, talent around you, that does matter, unfortunately. So, that being said, I have, for all these guys, I have like a low end comp and a high end, like their floor and then the ceiling, like what they could be if they're in the right situation and if they develop how they should. I'll go worst to best. So, the last guy for me is J.J. McCarthy of the six. I am seeing a lot of, like, top 10 draft pick buzz lately. I've seen a lot of people saying that this guy looks like John Elway.
Wait, what? Elway?
Yeah, no, that needs to stop.
I don't, they must be watching a different John Elway than me. I mean, sure, this guy's a decent game manager, but like, that's kind of it. I mean, it, you know, a college quarterback that does well in the pros is typically one who can put the team on his back when things are tight and they need a win. That's not like, you know, the only thing, obviously, but we've never seen him do that. He's been in some spots where they could have used that, especially like versus Ohio State, a couple times, or against Bama in the Rose Bowl, right? But he didn't. The defense and the running game bailed him out. And, yeah, I mean, sure, he's a good, accurate, and decision maker type of quarterback, but he's not very mobile. He doesn't, I mean, he can run, but he doesn't really. His arm strength is average at best. He really doesn't have a deep ball. And, you know, he's also 6'3 and weighs only 200. So, you know, at that height, if you only weigh 200, I mean, you're going to get eaten alive in the pros when you're not sitting behind the comfy Michigan offensive line. So I think on the low end, he reminds me a lot of like Jake Browning, you know, where he's just, you know, taller, but kind of skinny. He doesn't, you know, and he's or not skinny, but not like a big, huge guy. And, just a decent backup, you know, nothing too special. And on the high end, I think if he goes to the right system, he could be like a Brock Purdy, you know, just a consistent game manager, but not like gonna out-duel Mahomes or something and win a Super Bowl. So JJ McCarthy at 6. Number 5, I have Drake May. This guy was tricky for me because, you know, he's 6'4, 230, which is, I mean, that's like perfect size for an NFL quarterback. And, you know, he's got a strong arm. He's pretty mobile, you know, good pocket passer, but he generally makes good decisions with the ball and is fairly accurate. But the big issue with him is as a passer, he's not great when he doesn't have a clean pocket. When he's pressured and has to throw on the run, his accuracy takes a huge hit. And, oftentimes he'll force deep balls downfield when he shouldn't. And lucky for him, he's going against, the ACC where he has garbage defenses. But in the NFL, he's going to get picked doing that. And, you know, if he goes to the right team where he has a good offense to develop, I think on the high end, he could be like Josh Allen just because of his natural ability. But there's also the reality where that doesn't happen. And,
his line is Zach Wilson, isn't it?
No, to me, it's more like Drew Locke, where, you know, where, cause he is bigger and he, you know, nothing against Drew. He's a great guy. yeah, no, I just hope he doesn't listen to this. Anyways, so, the number 4, I got the Bears future quarterback, Caleb Williams. this is definitely the controversial pick here. I mean, not for you guys, but for everyone else. You know, this guy, he has a strong arm. He's insanely elusive. You know, he's got all the talent. Many people have said he's like Mahomes with his ability to escape and then go on to throw some, you know, 60-yard bomb or something. And while that is true, while he does do that, Mahomes was drafted by one of the most well-run organizations in the league. He sat behind Alex Smith for a year, who's a great teacher of the game. He has Andy Reid, a great offensive line, and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who were both top three in the NFL at their positions at that time and probably still today. Meanwhile, Caleb, unless they trade back or do something crazy, is going to the Bears, where he'll have a defensive head coach, an OC in Shane Waldron, who's allergic to throwing deep, an offensive line that is just okay, and one good receiving target. You know, so Caleb, I mean, he has all the talent in the world, but he's way too obsessed with trying to play hero ball and making a highlight reel.
Yep.
I watched about an hour of film on each of these guys in preparation for this, on top of the stuff that I saw of them, like, live during the season. And I couldn't tell you the number of times Caleb would have a guy wide open, 10 yards down the field for a first down, you know, good check down. But instead, he decides to run around like a chicken with his head cut off and then throw it to, you know, 60 yards downfield to a guy who's in double coverage. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's, you cannot do that in the NFL. You can get away with that in college, but the DBs in the NFL have much better hands, and more importantly, they're smarter. He's going to get picked left and right in the league if he's doing that. So to me, his NFL comp is Sam Darnold. And I'm not just saying that because he's a USC guy, although that is kind of a funny coincidence. I just don't see him. I just don't see his game translating well to the NFL at all. But you know, that's just me. Maybe I'm just a hater.
What's his ceiling?
Now, to me, I mean, well, I don't know. I didn't really put a floor or ceiling for him because I just saw Sam Darnold. but I'll think about that though. Number three, I'll take Jaden Daniels. As far as comps for me, on the low end, he's like Justin Fields. On the high end, I'd go Kyler Murray. And, you know, great athleticism. He throws really well on the run. And he really can beat you with his arms and legs. He doesn't have like the best deep ball, but it did improve a lot this past season. But overall, his arm is unfortunately, you know, below average. but the big issue is on plays when he has to stay in the pocket and go through reads and progressions, he just looks really uncomfortable. And, you know, the other big issue is his size. He's another 6'3", 200-pound guy, like J.J. McCarthy. So I just feel like he's going to get tossed around in the NFL. I mean, we've seen that with Kyler already, getting hurt a lot with the way he plays. And not to mention, he really wasn't like, he wasn't that impressive until he got to LSU, where he was surrounded by great weapons. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just something to consider. You know, you could say the same thing about Joe Burrow and, you know, look at how he's doing when he's healthy. He's top five in the league. He's a guy who really will, you know, it'll depend on where he ends up. Number two, I'm going Michael Penix. To me, his floor is Tua and his ceiling is CJ Stroud. I think he has the best deep ball in this class by far. And when he's in the pocket, this guy throws dots. And he has great accuracy and anticipation. You know, he already knows just how much touch to put on a ball. Great football IQ, you know, rarely throwing balls where he shouldn't. He this year he improved dramatically with his ability to escape pressure. He still isn't great, but, you know, much better. And, you know, he still isn't great when he has to throw out of the pocket. But, you know, the only really big red flag with him is injuries. And, you know, I hate to say that because he's been healthy in his 2 years at UW, but, you know, we know he had four season-ending injuries at Indiana, and the defensive lines in the NFL are a lot bigger and stronger than the ones in college. So, you know, we'll just have to see. And depending on where he goes, he might not get an amazing offensive line like he had in Washington. But, you know, if he goes to the right place for him, I think he has the potential to be, like I said, you know, CJ Stroud type of player. Definitely an NFL ready guy. But number one, my favorite quarterback in this draft class, out of the University of Oregon, Bo Nix. To me, his comp is Herbert, Justin Herbert. He's not the fastest guy here, doesn't have the biggest arm. He's, you know, not the quickest at processing things. But I'd say he's basically second in all of it. I mean, you know, he's incredibly consistent. You know, you're not going to get a ton of big plays out of him, but he has a good arm. He has the ability to do that. He's really smart. He can move really well if he needs to. I mean, these are just all really ideal quarterback traits in the NFL. The one downside is that a lot of times if his primary target is not there, he can kind of like freeze and, you know, kind of takes him a second to scan the rest of the field and think of what to do next. And sometimes that can get him in trouble because he just stands back there and all of a sudden he's being sacked or pressured or something, you know. But that's something that can easily be, not easily, but something that is definitely, you can be coached out of. Especially in the right system. And I do think he would struggle in an air raid type of offense. Like they'll probably have in, you know, Washington, the Commanders, for instance. I think, you know, a guy like Penix is much more equipped for that, but in more of a West Coast scheme, which is much more common now anyways, you know, like, Denver with Sean Payton, I think that would be a great fit. I would not be mad at all if they took him at 12. He's a perfect choice for that. And definitely the best amongst these guys for a West Coast offense. He's, you know, like I said, he's not the most talented of this bunch, but he is absolutely the most NFL ready, I think. And part of it is because he has played the most games, but it's also just the way he plays. The way he's able to process and not make costly mistakes. And, I mean, he completed 77% of his throws this year. I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, that's that's just incredible. Yeah, so for me, he's definitely, I think he's number one. I think him and Penix are, you know, the two guys where I'm really like, yeah, if they're in the right situation, they're going to succeed. And then Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, I'm like, you know, the talent's there. I'm like, and then Drake May and JJ McCarthy, you know, they're the guys who I think really need to be in the right situation. And, you know, we'll see if they end up in that. Probably not, but, you know, we'll see. Thoughts, fellas?
the only one, I'm a big Drake May guy. I love the way he throws the ball. I think you're right, though. I feel like he needs to be in that right system.
I also very much agree on JJ and Caleb. But Brandon, I think you'll have more in-depth thoughts than I would. What are your thoughts on his list? And is it similar to kind of what you had in mind?
It's pretty similar. I can go back and forth with Penix and Knicks all day. Because, I mean, and they went to war against each other twice, and they both played really well in those games. But when I look at it, like, yeah, I don't think Knicks is like the number one in all those different categories, but he's the most well-rounded of all the quarterbacks in this draft. He's probably the most accurate of all the quarterbacks in this draft. He's definitely, I got to watch the most of him, obviously. And I've seen all these guys, but especially him being an Oregon fan. I know what Bo Nix can do. I know what this guy is capable of. If he goes to the right system, it's going to be game over. If you literally can put him in the right situation, he's going to be just fine. And he should be. And if he's not, then that's on him. I won't take responsibility for calling my quarterback a failure because it's solely on him. Funny. I like the Justin Herbert, comp because they're both Ducks.
That was kind of like the Sam Darnold thing. It was like, it wasn't because of the, you know, where they went to school, but I was like, this is too funny. I gotta do it.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, though, for Caleb, like, damn, that's a low blow. I don't know what to say about that.
Because at first, coming into this season, we were like, okay, he should be really, really good. But he had one of those problems where it was like, for the first half of the year, he was still really good, and the second half, he just imploded. Like, it's just like he literally, I think the problem with Caleb Williams this past season was that he got in his head too much, his own head too much. And then I feel like it just snowballed. And other people would say this. I'm sure you guys probably can see it too. Caleb Williams is he has got a very soft mentality. He is extremely soft. And if you're going to be that soft coming into this league, you will not survive. So, like, you know, he doesn't want an agent.
Especially in Chicago.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't want an agent. He wants a stake in the team that he's going to play for. I'm like, who are you to be making all these demands, bro? And like you are asked to finish the season. You shouldn't be talking. I like his talent. I think in terms of, like, his talent, I think he's the most talented of the group. I don't think he's the most well-rounded. I don't think he's definitely not the most accurate. He's definitely turnover prone. I mean, everybody's going to say, oh, well, he only had a certain amount of interceptions. Well, yeah, like 5 interceptions this year. Okay, yeah, but I mean, a lot of, like, some of those interceptions came in really bad moments and in really bad times where he looked awful. And just, I don't care that he only threw 5 of them. It was, you know, his season, his 2022 season was far better. It was far better in terms of yards, far better in terms of TDs, far better in terms of rushing. This year.
Yeah, Madison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Caleb Williams, you know, I think, you know, I can see the Mahomes comparison, but I'm like, this guy is not gonna, like, I don't care. I don't think he can be Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he will be.
Patrick Mahomes is getting close to Mahomes in the next 10 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's sort of fucked down with the Mahomes comparisons.
We won't see another Mahomes until we hit middle age. So anybody that is comping him a Patrick Mahomes needs their eyeballs checked and their head examined. He is not Patrick Mahomes. And if you think so, then please stop watching football. Do us all a favor and stop watching football.
Stop watching football.
I think
Brandon
Mahomes too though.
What?
I'm just gonna say this. Are you calling out Chris Sims with that comment, Brandon, right now?
Oh my god. I can do a whole 3 hours on why I hate Chris Sims and it still wouldn't be enough. but yeah, cause the thing, like, listen, like, first of all, I don't care who your father was. You failed the NFL as a quarterback, and you're an even bigger failure as a commentator. So you should not talk about sports ever again because you're so damn stupid. I don't care. Most people would agree with me. So I know I'm right. But the rest of the quarterback list I think is fine. Like JJ McCarthy is a handoff. Yeah, I was the second you were talking about floors and ceilings for these quarterbacks, I was like, yeah, his ceiling is Brock Purdy. Like it absolutely, because I mean, all the guy does is either hand the ball off or check it down. Like he doesn't have the strongest arm. He's mobile when he needs to be. He can get that first down when you need him to. We saw him do that, just like we saw Brock Purdy do that in the playoffs. So, yeah, he's exactly a Brock Purdy type. And I mean, he needs those kind of weapons if he's going to be successful. He definitely does. I don't understand why people have him. Some people have him as like the best ranked. I'm like, what game tape are you watching? Or what games have you watched where you think he's the best quarterback in this draft class? Because he's far from it.
I've seen a lot of people say, well, you know, he won a national championship. It's like, did you watch that game?
Yeah, he won it, or he won it, or his defense and running game won it.
Yeah, like, his brilliant coach.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, he's the last person on that list that won that damn game. I'll even put the strength and conditioning coach above him for that game. Like, get out of here saying he won a championship. That's so stupid.
Here we go, Brandon Allen, yeah. Man. Look, 32 vert here, man.
He's a freak athlete. He's a freak athlete. I don't think he's going to be a good pass catching running back in this league, but my God, you'd be hard. I swear, if he doesn't break like 1500 yards every season, I'm going to be disappointed. The guy's so damn good and strong. But the rest of the list I think is pretty good. Drake May, I just have concerns with his turnover. He's probably the most turnover prone quarterback in this draft. And then also the fact that he came out of the ACC doesn't help him any.
The thing is, turnover prone quarterbacks from the ACC, they always turn out great. Mitch Trubisky, Daniel Jones, you know, I mean.
I saw so many Giants fans that were like, oh, what's the possibility of us taking Drake May? I'm like, why would you want him? He's not going to be good. First of all, nobody that goes to the Giants is going to be any good. So I'm sorry, Giants fans. Continue to dwell in hell. That's where you deserve it.
Dwell in hell.
Wait, you could put Tom Brady.
Don't you live in New Jersey, for God's sake? Damn.
I see so many Giants fans like, oh, I want this guy, this guy, this guy. I'm like, okay, so you want a super team. So first of all, you're stupid. Second of all, you have no idea what it takes to put an NFL team together. That's why you're not a GM. Third of all, you want guys that you think are good, but are probably the worst at their positions in this draft class. So you should shut the hell up and stop talking football.
Brandon, really quick, speaking of your New York, New Jersey area, good broad jump of the Tennessee man there. Can you please give us an overview of how excited you are about the World Cup final coming to your neck of the woods?
I swear to God, I will call out of work for the whole month that this damn thing kind of revolves around here, because you will not be able to breathe, let alone drive, let alone live in this area while that's going on. There's already congestion problems in North Jersey, actually in all of New Jersey and in the New York area. There is nothing but congestion here, and you want to add to it even more. That's a very smart idea, isn't it? Because I do not want to drive in this state while those games are happening. I seriously don't, because it's a 5-minute drive to a local convenience store is gonna be 50. I hope you know that. So, it's gonna be ridiculous. I thought at first, oh, that's a good idea. And I'm like 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, wait, the traffic. We have one of the top, I think it's what we have one of the top 5 worst infrastructures in America. And you want to add more people to that? Oh, that's great. So yeah, I thought I was
West hanging out with us.
I'm going.
Oh my god! You're going into the danger zone?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm just touching it with a 10-foot pole.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I gotta ask you this as well. What have some of your friends and coworkers have said about this? Is it like what have their reactions been?
The same exact reason. We all said the same thing at the same time. Traffic, like traffic and congestion. Traffic, congestion, and do you like we also have we're in a pretty. Like, not sketchy area, but, like, New Jersey is a sketchy state. Like, we can't trust, you know, hundreds of thousands of people to be in the same area at the same time. There's no way this is going to go well.
Dang.
I mean, I've almost been robbed there twice, so, you know.
I want to think it's a good thing for the state, but here's the thing. You know why this is here? Because, you know, we always say, you know, the dollar makes the world go around. Like, you know, the American dollar is so important. But in New Jersey, the American dollar is the only thing this state cares about. So when you have the decision to put the World Cup here, of course New Jersey is going to say yeah. Because they want as much money as godly possible. Like,
that makes sense.
I mean, but you want your civilians to lose money on gas.
But yeah, see, here's the problem. Do you know how many car accidents are going to happen here because people don't know how our road laws are here?
Oh my god!
That's very true. They have no idea. Like, we are not, like, if my coworker, one of my best friends, Josh, he broke down what New Jersey is. He's like, welcome to New Jersey, where we are 90% highway and road and 10% beach. Enjoy your stay. Like, that is New Jersey. So, can you imagine people from other countries coming here? People from other states coming here, like, regularly for those games, and they don't know how to drive here? Do you know how many accidents? Like, I swear to God, you're gonna see, like, 5,000 car pileups on the highway. I guarantee you. Our state is not meant for this. Our area is definitely not meant for this. This is one of the worst things in New Jersey history. And it should be a time to celebrate, but, you know, it's not because it's New Jersey. So,
do you realize that so many people are
going to
fly in to New Jersey?
But the thing is, they're going to have to rent the car.
I think Times Square is like 5 minutes away from your arena.
There's so many people. That, like, yeah, they're gonna fly in, but they're gonna have to rent a car anyway. So, like, this is a lose situation for the citizens of New Jersey. Not for anybody else. Just strictly for our area, the tri-state area, we're so screwed here, it's not even funny. Like, this is gonna be hell on earth. Like, oh my god, I don't even, oh, Argentina, Brazil, there's already, do you know the Portuguese population in New Jersey? It's ridiculous. There's already a ton of Brazilians and Portuguese here. Like, can you imagine with the World Cup, how many more there are gonna be here? And I am someone that, obviously, like, half my friends are Portuguese. And I come from a Portuguese grandfather. I know what it's like to be Portuguese. I've seen this. This is going to be the biggest pork chop fest in American history. I guarantee you. So,
we saw beef jerky out on NFL Network.
Wait, what?
We just saw beef jerky out on NFL Network. Is that pork chop?
Yeah, that's literally the slang term for Portuguese people. But, you know, it's crazy because I want to like this. I want to be able to say, hey, I want to go to a game, but I'm not going to pay like $10,000 for a World Cup ticket just to watch, like, you know, Either the U.S. gets smacked or watch Portugal get killed. So I'm not going to do that. I'm also not going to deal with the insane amount of people. Like, you think tailgating for football games, and when I went to the stadium series with Devils Hockey, you think the tailgating for that was bad with people showing up at like 6 in the morning when the game was being played at 8 o'clock at night? You think that's bad? Wait for the World Cup when people are going to be tailgating the week before, no, not even the week, the month before the game starts. You think that's bad? Oh my God, wait for it. Wait for it. I guarantee you it's going to suck. So I am looking forward to this one bit. I'm already getting high blood pressure and anxiety, and we're still like, what, two years away from this. I don't want to even think of it anymore.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what. So, Robert, you're going to fly out there like a freak, and then...
Well, yeah! Of course I am!
And then Brandon, you just come out here, and so while Robert's in the thick of that mess, you and I'll just be chilling on a boat in Lake Washington, like, you know, just having a good time, not a care in the world, and meanwhile Robert's gonna be fighting the New Jersey traffic and, you know,
trying
to... Yeah, but you're gonna have to get there somehow.
I'm gonna take the bus!
Oh, you don't want to do that. Don't do that.
Well, that's $100 on Uber.
Oh, either way, you're going to get killed when you come here, like, you know, by prices or by the insane amount of insane people that are here. You know, either way, listen, you are better off staying where you are. That's all I can say.
I will not need that advice.
But I will say, though, there is an event in 2026, a sports event that I do want to go to, and that's the Winter Olympics in Milan.
Yes.
Yeah.
In February. I'm going to that. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
Dang it.
And LA. By the way, I already have a plan for LA in 2028.
That's great.
We're renting an Airbnb for a month and doing shows out on the beach.
Yeah, I don't have a plan for tomorrow, let alone 2028.
Where are we getting the Airbnb?
I don't know, wherever. I don't know, maybe Irvine or something.
I'm very scared of what
Irvine is like 2 hours from all the events.
No, that's not true. They're like all over Cali. Or like all over that surrounding area. You want, aren't they?
You wanna know something? You really wanna know something? Have you ever seen apocalypse movies?
Never.
Like, well, you know what I mean. Like, No, don't mention that piss poor movie ever again.
Have you seen it?
It's not good. I mean, I've seen like half of it. It's not good. It's not
Have you seen it?
Like half of it? Yeah.
Okay.
It's garbage. It's like, no. You know what that movie is? That's like the, if you think of like the worst nightmare scenario of a tsunami, that'd be it.
So it's like, but here's the thing though, when you think about that, right? So here's the issue. Take the most insanely hellish apocalypse movie you've ever seen, times that by 10, you will get New Jersey in 2026.
Is it 2026 or 2028? What is Volga? 26.
Yeah, wait. I swear to God, you guys are going, like, if I send, well, I mean, Rob, depending on if you do get out here or not.
I am.
You
it's
will
not a question.
Like, you're going to, Like, you're gonna see, like, everybody here turn into, like, absolute just, like, barbarians. And, like, their survival instincts are gonna kick in. Like, you're gonna see me with, like, a spear and a loincloth ready to defend my house from people that are trying to, like, break into it. Like, it's gonna be lawlessness, chaos, and anything else you can possibly imagine from your worst apocalypse movie, because that's what the World Cup is gonna be in 2026.
Oh my goodness.
It's going to be so freaking scary. I don't even want to think about it anymore, but I will be thinking about it because you brought it up and now I can't stop talking about it. So now I am so concerned in the next 2 years of what New Jersey is going to look like for that. And probably, you know what's crazy about it? I'm probably underselling how bad it's going to be. It's probably 10 times worse than what I'm saying it is. So I don't know anymore. I don't know. My brain's a fried. I'm so completely fluttered at thinking that that's going to have any chance of succeeding here and being well thought out.
All right, really quick, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to make sure the audio is all good here, and we'll be back with the quarterback start. Also, we got to talk some more New Jersey stuff, Brandon, because I got to hear more New Jersey stuff after that rant about the World Cup.
I've got time.
So do we, but we'll be back shortly. We went an hour and 35 minutes, guys. Not too bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my... I mean, yeah, once we get going, we're just like, all of us. Yeah,
but we'll see you all shortly. I'll edit this together in different pieces just so my computer doesn't implode with the amount of coverage we're doing today. But we'll see you all shortly. All right, here we go. Right, part two. Brandon, you got to be a New Jersey guy.
Absolutely. You ran a 4.41. I thought he was more of a high 4.4 guy, maybe a low 4.5, but 4.41 is really good for him. That's a really good time. A lot of these guys are pretty fast so far too. A lot of 4.4s out there, a lot of 4.44, 4.43. So these guys are looking pretty fast.
Yeah, we're not gonna see a lot of the big hitters in this group for the receiver core. I mean, we're going to see some of them, but we already know they're going to perform pretty well as we go through the day. But, yeah. Shame.
I run a 7.2, not to brag, but no,
you're
kidding.
You're lower than Rich Eisen.
I know, right? No, I think last time I did a 40, I was like a – I mean, granted, this was my junior year of high school, so – who knows, but I think I was like 4.7, 4.8. So not like great, but average for that age.
What did Rich Eisen run last year? Like a 5.5? I don't remember.
No, he's always right around a 6.
Oh, right around a 6.
Yeah. Like 5.9, 6.1.
Get better, Rich.
His ultimate team card's better than his actual self.
Yeah, that's the case with everybody. I wonder, like, now that I'm thinking about it, how fast would the average American run a 40? Just if you put anybody in there, like what the average time would be.
Oh, yeah, I run like a 6-something.
What was my time when I did it?
You're like a 5.2, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
With a bum right leg, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, most people are not finishing under 5, so.
I can probably be faster now that I'm working at my speed for a little bit, but Cornelius Jackson with a 4.45. Brandon, what are your thoughts on the NFL Network commercials that you're seeing? Because we were talking about earlier in the week that NFL Network always puts on the weirdest commercials.
I mean, well, what else are they going to show you at 3 o'clock on a Saturday during a combine? Like, you know, anybody that watches the combine, that's only if you're a diehard fan like we are. But
yeah, we're geeks.
But it's like, I mean, oh my, here we go with the beef jerky commercial again. Jesus. Every time you hear beef jerky. You know what though? It's like, it's whatever. It's just a commercial. It's better than seeing some like AARP commercial. I mean, that'll probably be next.
Man, dude, I don't know how I said this in the pod, but I honestly, watching football makes me think I have like a multitude of diseases.
Because they broadcast to 40 and up.
Well, not only that, it's just like, oh, I have diabetes. Oh, you're gay? You have HIV because you're gay. Take this pill. I swear, that's the target audience for these ads.
What does being gay have to do with it? They don't say that on the commercial.
I'm not saying
Robert, are you homophobic?
No. I'm not saying this to be homophobic. Brandon, you can back me up on this. Do you remember those advertisements they do during the season of those of the HIV pills?
Yeah, like,
and it's always like, and it's always just weirdly for some reason gay and lesbian people. It's really weird.
There's that freaking one, it's like Descovy for PrEP.
It's kind of bad.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, like that Descovy for PrEP, and it's like, it's always like, yeah, if you or someone you know is like living with like HIV, yeah.
Yeah, but it's specific. Not that it's necessarily bad.
But I'm very confused by why most of it is targeted towards.
Shouldn't Shouldn't like Magic Johnson be like, you know, an advocate for this?
He's never been on any of these advertisements.
Exactly. And he
got it by being unfaithful. He doesn't want to be known for that.
I mean, I guess, but man.
Oh my. Have you seen all those stuff about like, people being like, my girlfriend gave me HIV unknowingly? I'm like, god damn. No, but what's the other ones? They're just like, there's some other ones for like diabetes, and you're like,
oh yeah, was that?
Do you have diabetes? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, like Ozempic.
Ozempic.
Oh my god, do you guys know any people on Ozempic?
Do I know
people on Ozempic?
Yeah.
No. Do you?
I know quite a few, and it's. Yeah, it's horrible. not gonna drop any names, but my sister lives in LA and has a bunch of friends there who are, into it, not because they're diabetic, but because they want to lose weight. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, that's not the intended purpose of it. It's just a,
wow.
You know, that's just a little side effects of it. But,
holy
anyway.
Shit, Antoine Mitchell. God, 4-5.
4-5. That's why I was like, wow.
Holy shit.
Anyways. Yeah, no. So, yeah, they're all like, yeah, just like throwing up all the time and like can barely move. And it's just like, why would you do that to yourself? I think the funniest thing about those commercials is when they list all the side effects
That's
afterwards.
My point.
It's like side effects include kidney failure, possible stroke and death. It's like, oh yeah, well, let me take that.
Hey, that's the price you pay if you want to be in showbiz or you want to be, you know, famous or whatever. You gotta.
If you want to take Ozempic.
We're not bringing Ozempic yet. Damn it, Shane. No, but here's my point too. I wonder, and I don't know if you guys can help me with this, but I was just thinking about this when I'm watching these ads during the season about all these medications and stuff. Do you think that there's legitimately people out there that watch those ads, go to a doctor's office and say, yeah, give me that?
Yeah.
I know there are.
What? Real in advertisement.
There was a my grandma, for the, she started this company that, they basically, they go around the world, helping, women and children who are in situations that are bad, like, you know, no husband slash father, or he's abusive and they can't do anything about it or whatever. And they help them. And so she's been to like 80 countries, and she would oftentimes have trouble with, you know, catching certain viruses or different things when she was there. So, so one time she saw this commercial for some drug. It was like, this antibiotic, da, 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 da. And so then she went to her doctor and said, hey, can you prescribe me that? I saw a commercial about it. And he was like, okay.
What?
Oh, my God. which, yeah, it turned out that particular doctor was kind of a quack, and he actually lost his medical license. But
yeah, I would think so. That's beside the point.
So yes, people do that. But yeah, no, it's kind of, it is kind of funny though. You'd think people would watch that and go, okay, you know, be a little skeptical, but not her apparently. He was like, oh, I need some of that. But anyways, apparently it worked. So, you know, more power to you, I guess, but yeah, kind of odd.
Again, I'm not talking about this to like diss anybody or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just confused as to like why the NFL demographic is medical stuff. I don't get it. Like, and that's the thing too. Like, it's not even just NFL games and stuff, but it's predominantly that. It's like, okay, really?
Well, yeah. Well, the most common commercials in America are alcohol, insurance, and medication.
Jesus,
I was reading about it, and especially in, you know, stuff like this. But it is interesting, depending on what you watch, how the ads change. Because I notice sometimes, because my mom sometimes likes to watch The Price is Right, which is typically a very ancient population that watches that show.
Yep.
Which she is not, but, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, retirement home people like to, no, let's watch The Price is Right, you know. Yeah, so they, wow, 438.
Yeah, good for Jacob. These guys are
fast. But yeah, if you watch those, commercial for those are all like life insurance and, you know, the, what's it, Life Alert or whatever. Oh,
I fell and I can't get up.
Yep. It's all stuff like that that's like targeted for older people, you know, and like life insurance. I mean, you know, most people taking out life insurance policies are ones that are, in their wobbly years, let's say.
I've never heard someone describe it as that.
But, you know, so anyways, that's a side topic that doesn't matter anymore, but yeah, so the 40-yard dash for the receivers, what do we think?
I've been really impressed. I mean, Brandon, these are more of the lower end receivers, but the receivers are just getting faster and faster every year.
Yeah. But I mean, but even for the lower end guys, like, unless you like, you know, you can say a lower end. Like, I know Troy Franklin's not lower end. If you actually watch him play, that's a name.
Right.
But, you know, like.
Well, I think he just means like not one of, you know, the top three or four guys or whatever.
Which we're not seeing much of today, by the way, even for the quarterbacks.
You're not going to see that. But I'm saying like Troy Franklin's definitely in my probably my top five, top 10. But he definitely, like, you know, him, he had a 4.41. He's coming up next. I mean, well, they're not going to show him because we're on commercials, so we'll see what happens when he comes back from break, what his numbers were. But, You know, these guys are running like low 4.4s, and now they're starting to run like high 4.3s, and it's like, wow, that's like, you know, because 4.2 is like unheard of. So if you can get 4.3 as a receiver, you're insane. So, you know, it's like, you know, Cowing ran what, a 4.38. Mitchell ran a 4.35. Some of these guys are shaving, like, not just like, you know, not just like a hundredth or whatever. They're shaving like a full, like, you know, couple hundredths off of their time. Like, instead of 4.48, they're running like a 4.42. It's like, damn. So, you know, I mean, these are unofficial, so we'll get the official numbers later, but you know, these are pretty accurate to what they would be, really. So, you know, that's pretty good. These times are all really good for guys that are not considered, you know, up there with, you know, Dunze, Neighbors, and, you know, and Harrison. So these are really good times, and I'm really pleased with what I'm seeing so far out of these guys' 40s.
Yeah. Shane, what about elites?
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
That was a Super Bowl. I think it's really funny how people are just like
they're so
enamored to the next topic, they get focused on other things. But as an aside, I think that course was really funny. But no, Shane, how do you look at game speed versus 40 times speed, particularly with these receivers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big thing is the first thing really is the pads, right? I mean, that not only does it add extra weight, but it sort of limits the ways in which you can move your body. Not a ton, but a little bit, particularly your arms. And so that's one thing, but it's also when, you know, because the 40, you're just running a straight line, but in game situations, particularly like for receivers, typically what's more important is how shifty you are and not how quick you can run in a straight line, you know, which, you know, most of these guys can, but we see more of that when they're doing their drills, like the route running and catching and whatnot, as opposed to this. So, yeah, I'd say that's the biggest difference. But, you know, this is still a good look for when guys get an open space and, you know, if they are having a foot race with a DB or something and, you know, see how they can do there.
I wish they would show Kirk Franklin's second one. They didn't show it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Mitchell does here. Here's Antonio Pierce. I'm excited to see what he does with the Raiders this year. Is there a reason they do WO on the jerseys minus WR? I've never understood that in the combine.
Is it wide out?
Yeah, maybe it's wide out, yeah.
Yeah, well, Bob, they both mean the same things. I think it's just preference every year, what they feel like putting on there.
Yeah. Damn, Bob Neen shaved it off a good bit there. 4.43.
Can we show Mitchell running the 40? I don't want to see an interview. Come on. Like, I don't get it. Why are we watching an interview when we can just see somebody run the 40 that's ran a 4.35? Like, I don't care about this. Well, we're never going to see his 40, so whatever. Oh, the Lance Zerlin's mock draft. He has Bo Nix at 30 in the first round going to the Patriots. Ugh. Ugh.
No thanks.
That's disgusting. I actually want to vomit thinking of Bo Nix going there and ruining his career.
I actually want to vomit.
Who's their offensive coordinator? I never heard.
I forgot. Can you look it up?
It's not Bill O'Brien anymore, is it?
No, Bill O'Brien's back at Alabama, I think.
Oh, right.
No, yeah. No, he was going to go to Ohio State, but then I think they got Chip Kelly, didn't they?
Yeah.
Let's see. It'd be nice if Google could give me an answer.
That's crazy how similar Luke and Christian are to each other, McCaffrey.
Yeah, Luke had a race about combine.
Alex Van Pelt.
I like that.
Wow, Luke is faster than Christian in the 40. Wow.
I mean, he is a receiver, so
no, yeah,
he should be a little faster, but yeah. I know what you mean, though.
By a little.
I love how I'll never know what Troy Franklin ran again.
Did he actually? They said he was going to run a second time. Maybe he didn't. Who knows?
Let me see. Well, yeah, if I'm Troy Franklin, I'm resting on that 4.41 because that's like he's definitely not faster than that. I don't think. I mean, maybe he can get to like a 4.39, but that's probably it.
There was a Golden Corral commercial. Do you guys remember the Golden Corral story, like a bunch of years back?
Which one?
What do you mean? Which one? The big one.
No.
I think it was in Arizona.
No, doesn't ring a bell.
There was one where the guy threw food in the garbage.
Oh. Yeah, that's bad. I can't hear Brandon, can you?
Brandon, are you good?
I'm not talking.
Brandon, are you good? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought you were lighting up green, so no, I was confused. Dang it.
No, yeah, I'm constantly lighting up green because my thing is set to that. Like, the noise thing is set to that, so you can always hear me.
I see. Good.
They projected Troy Franklin to run like a 4.36. I'm like, I don't think he's that bad. I'm thinking he's like 4.39.
Yeah.
Well, he got what, 4.41?
4.41, yeah. I don't think he's much faster than that. I think he's a little faster, probably like a 4.39, but I don't think it's a 4.35, 4.36, no way. Although his 4.41 looked effortless.
Where would you like to see him go in the draft?
I mean, I think outside of the top three guys, I think he's right on the borderline of being like fifth. So I mean, he should go second round. I can't see why he wouldn't. He's so good. And Oregon had a good
year. First round.
Yeah, I think he's early second. I don't. If he falls more than that, I'd be shocked. I think he can be late first, but I think he's more of an early second guy. But if he falls any more than that, I'd be stunned. He's better than a third rounder, and he's better than a late second. So there's no way he should go in the back half of the second. There's no way. His hands are too good. and he's got good speed. You know, he can break away from DBs. He did that all season at Oregon. He just got a lot of separation. He just knows how to get open. He's not the best route runner, but he still runs very well. Like, so he's one of the guys I really like a lot. Wow, that's surprising. Ladd McConkey, I didn't see him last year. His I don't like that. His comp is Brandon Stokely. His numbers are way better than Stokely.
So I don't like that comp.
Yeah.
I get it, but those numbers are way different.
Luke McConkey. What a name. McConkey.
Yeah, Ladd.
Yeah, there are a lot of weird names. Kool-Aid McKinley.
I love Kool-Aid, too, and it sucks that he's got his foot injury now. Because he's the guy I wanted for Philly at 22. Yeah, Mitchell is like one of those guys like Troy Franklin. He's right at that top, like in that five range.
Yeah.
I like Mitchell a lot.
Boys, the mission has been completed.
Which is?
Drinking alcohol on the podcast.
Oh Lord!
Just having a beer.
Why are they showing him running a simulcam against Julio Jones and AJ Brown? Why?
Way
fast.
Holy shit! Yeah, but like, why? Like,
because he's a bigger guy like them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I'm pretty sure that there's been faster examples of those two. I know AJ Brown and Julio are not that fast. Well, Julio's not that fast now. He was in his early years in Atlanta, but AJ Brown's never been fast. AJ Brown's been like a 4-5 guy.
Brandon, speaking of your Eagles,
what do you want?
It's you're off. The offense is fine. It needs to be defense heavy. You need not just one linebacker. You probably need to draft like two of them, and you need to draft corner. I know Keely Ringo is there. I know Ricks is there. I know they were rookies last year, but I'm not gonna put them back out there for a second year. You need a guy that's NFL ready now, and I'd be happy with any of the corners that are projected in the first round. I'm happy. Like I wanted Kool-Aid, but with that injury, I'm concerned. With that foot injury, I'm concerned. Wiggins would have been my next guy. You know, Philly has a slight history of getting Clemson guys. Obviously Dawkins, and then later on, Kayvon Wallace, even though they're safeties still, they're still, you know, Clemson guys. I like that Wiggins has speed. That's one thing that this defense is missing too. Our corners are insanely slow. Darius Slay is old and slow, and James Bradberry is probably the worst corner in the NFL. Statistically, I think he was actually the worst rated corner in the NFL. Like, if you look at all the numbers, he was top three worst in the NFL. This past season. So, I want one of those corners. Hell, you know what? You got Reed Blankenship at safety. Why not get another white guy? Put Cooper DeJean back there. I don't see why not. I mean, he's been mocked to go to Philly too at that spot. So I don't see why not. But that's for just for corners. For linebackers, I mean, you either got to get one of Cooper or Trotter Jr. Anything else other than that to me is unacceptable. Those are the two guys that are on my radar that you absolutely need to have. You cannot ignore this position any longer like Howie Roseman is known to do. I don't care. You need to get a star linebacker. Enough is enough. They were awful last year. And quite frankly, they weren't good the year before either. The Eagles haven't had a good linebacking core since probably Trotter Sr. was there. So, you need either his son, you need Trotter Jr., or you need Cooper. Those are the two guys I'm looking for because they're difference makers. That's why these guys have been, some people have them projected in the first round. So it's got to be DB or linebacker for me early on. Then the rest, you can do whatever. But those first two or three rounds, they've got to be DB and linebacker. And knowing Philly, if we take another, like, lineman on either side, D-line or line, I'm gonna lose my goddamn mind. We quite literally don't need that. We quite literally do not need it. So if we take that, I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah, I'm very excited to do draft coverage just to see your reactions to the Eagles picks, Brandon.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, you should have. Did you see me lose my mind, or was that too early yet? No, I might have been like the year before when I lost my mind. I lost my mind over Devontae Smith being drafted.
Really?
I lost, like in a good way though. I went ballistic. I think I screamed loud enough to wake my whole block up. And so far, you know what? It was a great pick. It was a great pick.
So any more New Jersey stories, Brandon, while we're in commercial here and going through some of the drills?
Well, it depends. What do you guys want to know more about?
Anything rant worthy? Let's do that.
I mean, you guys know we're the only state that pumps our own gas. Oh no, we don't pump our gas. I mean, but we get our gas pumped for us.
That doesn't.
Oregon
too. But actually, no, Oregon doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
It's the last couple of years.
Yeah, for the longest time, but the thing is, everybody knows that we're the state that doesn't pump our own gas. So this sounds so stupid, but because I've never driven out of state, so I've never pumped. I don't know how to pump gas. I've never had to pump my gas. So
it's really hard. Here's what you do. You put your card in, you press the button, and you put the pump in your car.
Yeah, no, I know it's easy. I just never had to do it.
I'm just messing with you.
No, I know.
The first time you do it, though, you're like, wait, how do I do this? It sounds so stupid, but it's true.
Yeah, and you just wait for the thing to click, and then you take the pump out. Yeah, it's like, I know how that is, but it's, I don't know, it's crazy to me. Like, I've seen it happen so much. I've been going to Florida since I was five, so I know about, you know, everybody pumping their own gas. But, like, everybody looks at us like, oh, you damn Jerseyans, you lowlives, you don't pump your own gas. What are you, lazy and stupid? It's like, no, that's just the law here. You pump your own gas. Like, that's just the law. Otherwise, we would. You know, like, and I mean,
you
I don't know
why. You tip those guys?
What happened?
Do you have to tip them?
No. You don't tip them.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was, like, the norm.
I was going to say, why the hell would you tip them?
I don't know. Because they're, you know, people in the service industry. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, if you're... Gas is already expensive. If you're tipping your gas station attendant, you don't care about money.
I remember one time we were in Oregon and we were getting gas, and my mom says, she says to my dad, well, honey, are we supposed to tip them? He was like, I don't know. And then she says, well, should we? He goes, I wasn't planning to. And I was like, all right.
Shane, we're looking at the live catch line here. What are you looking for out of these receivers?
I think what I look for is a very subtle thing, but a lot of times I treat it almost like I look at it like them running a slant route.
Yeah.
Because you can tell there's some guys, dude, like this guy, where when the ball comes to him, he moves towards the side a little bit. That's a bad habit. Because in the NFL, when you break like that, that just gives the DB an opportunity to come in front and pick you or get a tip, whatever. That's the main thing I look for with this is like making sure they're actually catching and then running or not running before they catch.
Yeah. I was going to say that this drill is like threefold for me. Every time I watch it, I'm like, I want to see them now. Like, well, I should say about four things. Because, you know, because some of these throws are not great. So it's like, okay, how strong are your hands? Well, like, no water. These are the things I'm looking for, no water. How strong are your hands? Are you looking the ball into your hands and then going on to the next one? You know, instead of just catching it, like, you know, blind catching it pretty much. And then are you running in a straight line? Because the weaving doesn't work. Just, you know.
Whoa!
That was a bad throw, though, to be fair.
Mitchell is so fast. He just completely rolled.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I like. Those are just some of the things I look for. It's just how quick are you getting through it?
See, like, look at Puka as he's doing that.
That's why you run that drill. Look how straight he is. See?
Yeah, his control.
And look what they're saying, a slant.
Right.
Basically, slant.
And that's why he's so good.
Yeah, slants and in routes. Any kind of slant or an in route. That's why you run this drill. So, you know, that's why you gotta see how straight are these guys running through it. Like, look at McCaffrey. That's about almost as straight as you can do it.
And this is the gauntlet drill. I always
forget the name of the drill. This is the drill.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's what I like is how straight can you run? How much in a straight line can you run? Also, are you looking the ball into your hands? Do you have strong hands? And just finish. Simple. Finish. Run through it. Yeah, like that's a lot of weaving right there from Coker. It's Keon Coleman. Yeah. Wow. He's straight. That's great. I mean, the finish wasn't, but that's about as straight as you can run that. He almost didn't move off the white line, off the yard line.
Yeah.
He's just standing straight
right there all the way through. That was literally straight through.
The last throw there, I don't think that was on him, though, because he was like, he got to him when he was like already out of bounds, so that's
Troy Franklin, where are you going, bro? Jesus Christ, Troy, where are you going, my guy? Oh my god,
he's bobbing and leaving.
Yeah. Ooh, yikes.
Where, like, get that guy a map. Where are you going? Troy is not a slant, like, I shouldn't say he's not a slant route guy, but he's a guy that should be running intermediate routes. That's more of his thing.
I'm calling him the deserted state kid. He's having an amazing day.
Because like, you know, at Oregon, the guy whose job it was to run slants was Bo Nix's adopted brother. That was Tez Johnson's job. So Troy Franklin's job was more intermediate and deep. That's where Troy Franklin's the best. He is not good at running basically 5-yard routes. That's just, I mean, I've seen him do it. I mean, he was doing it well at Oregon, but that's not his game.
I love
the ball comes up. his hands.
It's funny you said that. You said that, and Thor just throws a wide pass to Luke.
Oh my god! Look at Luke. Not too much movement there.
At the end, that was not great. The most telling one is the very last one, because that's when they actually start to run downfield. It's the guys who are trying to run downfield before they catch the ball. That's what you don't want.
You gotta look that ball in. You can't just go blind to it. You've gotta look the ball in. Like, I know they're so focused on the next catch, but it's like, you gotta just catch, and then just make the catches. Oh man, Mitchell
was good. But me,
Mitchell was all over the place a little bit on that one.
Yeah, I don't think Mitchell is like a great route runner necessarily, but to me, what I've noticed with him is just that his body control is really good.
Yeah.
In terms of when he is in tight man coverage, the way he's able to get around a defender.
Yeah. Keon,
and make a play is really good.
I think the best of the group so far, I think just overall, has been
Coleman.
Yeah, Keon Coleman. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. He was perfectly straight, fast. He really made every catch with precision. The end wasn't great, but again, I don't think it was really his fault. It was a bad ball.
Yeah. Let Jerry Rice do this drill. Show him how it's done.
I love how he always wears his goat gear.
I love how people, like, some people try to discredit Jerry Rice because, like, not his rookie season, but the season right after. He only used it for one season when it was still, like, legal. He used Stick'Em. I'm like, yeah, but he never did after that. Like, and he was still the greatest receiver ever.
Oh, my God, he's wearing the 7-Eleven chain. Boys open, baby.
That's why I love AJ Brown.
Jerry Rice, in my opinion, is the greatest NFL player ever.
Yeah. To me, I always go back and forth on it, but I think he is, and then I'm like, okay, him and Barry Sanders. And I'm like, okay. Like, I know that there's a lot of defensive guys. Like, obviously, you could say, like, Reggie White, or you could say, you know, somebody like, you know, Dev Moore, you know, one of those, like, Ray Lewis, you could say something like that. But yeah, it's Jerry Rice and it's Barry Sanders for me as the two.
All right, now we're seeing the slant drill from these guys actually running a slant.
Yeah, this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Also get to see DBs throw a little bit too.
Oh, that pass was high. That's a great catch from Coleman. Man, he's looking good.
Mm-hmm.
He's improved his draft stock like tenfold today. I forgot Devin Leary existed, but then again, it's like, who cares? He's Kentucky. Troy Franklin. Yeah, Troy Franklin just bailed out J.J. McCarthy on that pass.
We actually get to see the quarterbacks here. Really good.
Yeah, that's all J.J. McCarthy can do is slants, by the way.
The ball doesn't come out clean for him as much as you would like.
For JJ. Because JJ is not a legit quarterback. Like, I just don't think he's a good quarterback at all. I don't. And listen, he could end up proving the world wrong. And there's my boy, Bo Nix. Hush. I need silence.
Here he is.
Yeah, you're ahead of us, Brandon.
Yeah, I know.
His ball is so clean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bo. Loved it.
Perfect placement. Right in front of the guy, right in his chest.
Like, it's, you know, but going back to J.J. McCarthy, it's not, he's not fluid. He's not a great passer really at all. Sometimes you see guys who are really great in college and they don't translate to the pros, and usually the guys that weren't that great, you know, they come out of nowhere and it's like, okay, that could happen, but I'd be shocked if J.J. McCarthy becomes like a superhero in the NFL. It would shock me.
Shane, the ball even on the slant just seems to go right to the guy's head.
Yeah, that first throw he made to Trey Franklin, that ball was far in front.
And high.
It was in front, it was high. But Trey Franklin bailed him out. That was a bad throw. When you throw a slant, that ball's gotta be on the guy's body. It's gotta be on the body, and it's gotta be obviously where you're making an easy catch on him. And besides, I know this because when I go down to the football field by my house, and literally I play like steady quarterback, I always make sure I put the ball like on my receiver's body.
Shane, does test today affect how you do the rankings?
As far as test, you mean like the Wonderlic test or the combine, like the workouts? Not really, no. I mean, at least not for the quarterbacks. Sometimes for the receivers, you know, I'll see something like with a guy that's not one of the top five or so guys, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, it's sort of like the Florida State guy. I'm forgetting his name, but I was looking at him thinking, well, you know, yeah, he's good. But then now that I'm like paying closer attention to it, I'm like, oh, well, man, that's, you know, he's executing this really well. To be fair, I didn't watch much Florida State this year.
I was going to say, wait, are you talking about quarterbacks or talking about wide receivers?
Receivers.
Oh, come on, Keon Coleman?
Coleman, yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch much of him this season, but.
Yeah, I didn't watch a ton, but they were on TV a lot, especially over here, so I got to see him a little bit. And he just made a lot of great plays in like every game I watched. So I knew about him before coming into this. He was one guy I was looking for. Obviously, my boys, my Oregon boys. And then Mitchell. Those were like the three guys out of the wide receiver group I was looking for. And he's in this group. But Keon Coleman just improved his draft stock like tenfold. That was a great showing for him so far. Yeah, Troy Franklin hit his game. He's not a short game guy. That's not him. He's intermediate routes and deep ball. That's how Bo Nix found him in all over the field the past two seasons. So, all right, Bo, what you got for me?
Brandon, what about for you here in terms of the quarterbacks and the receivers? Like, how much does it kind of up a guy's draft stock in your mind, or lowers it in the combine?
It can. I think that how you show in the combine definitely. I mean, it might not change. It might not change your stock dramatically. By the way, Bo Nix just threw two perfect balls to the sideline there. But it can help your stock. You know, if you have a good showing, it can bump you up at least a couple spots. Like it can be a difference between a guy going, you know, even I shouldn't say a couple. It could be a difference between a guy going from like late second to an early second, or even a late first in some cases. Like it definitely helps. I don't think it, you know, it's not going to make a guy go from like the sixth round to the second, but it's definitely going to be one of those things where you're definitely going to move up like, you know, 10, 15 spots, depending on how you play this. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, well, you never know where these guys are going to go. So obviously it can move them up a whole, you know, a whole 30 spots. But
what the hell, JJ? Did you see that throw? What was that?
This is just proving what we said. He can't throw anything.
He's a top 10 pick. Yeah, absolutely. Shut the hell up.
Just like anybody that can honestly say that JJ McCarthy is a good quarterback, you need to be checked for CTE. Like, there's no way in hell.
I was not thinking that.
I was not including that.
Man, Rich Run.
Do you see Charles Davis
walking?
He's going all over the place today.
Yeah, he's having fun. This is the most Charles Davis has like moved in like 20 years. So, you know, I like that the coaches for this drill, A few of them seem to be Eagles coaches.
Yeah, we got NFC East coaches, actually.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Well, I mean, who better than to run a quarterback and wide receiver drill than one of the best offenses in the NFL in the Philadelphia Eagles? With A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Hurts. Who better?
Ryan Johnson.
Yeah!
No comment.
By the way, Did you see what happened to Brian Johnson?
No, I don't care.
No.
He's with the Niners now.
Yeah.
What?
Downfall. Downfall.
I don't know, some like senior advisor role or something like that, I think.
I don't care. If he gets any input, the Niners are never winning a Super Bowl. Let's go.
Are you guys noticing how JJ McCarthy's underthrowing? All these post routes. Dude, it's only 30 yards and he's under throwing it.
Oh yeah, but he's a good quarterback, right? He's a top 10 pick. Yeah, sure. If he can't throw this in a combine, what makes you think he's going to throw it against 300-pound defensive linemen and guys that are fast as hell in the secondary?
I'd argue Milton's doing better than him.
Oh, Troy Franklin, you screwed that up for your quarterback. You guys know each other. How'd that fail? How'd you fail? You guys know each other.
He just tripped.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's no bueno.
Look at that, Bo. Bang.
You're enjoying the hell out of this, Brandon, aren't you?
Oh, my guess. Because I believe in Bo Nix supremacy.
That was a little under. A little behind, I mean.
A little bit, but when you see the other quarterbacks, they look like garbage. So,
oh, it's better. Yeah, way, much better than them.
Sam Hartman looks like Jesus.
I don't know, but he can't hit a guy's chest to save his life. God, they're having to jump like 5 feet in the air every time.
Yes, Sam Hartman. I don't like Sam Hartman coming out of, like, before he even transferred to Notre Dame, like, this guy's trash.
Wake Forest.
I didn't think he was any good no matter where he played. I didn't think he was any good.
We got a deep ball here.
Oof, low.
Devin Leary hasn't been that ball. I mean, the short game he was bad, but these throws haven't been bad.
I mean, UK is very much a deep ball throwing
program.
Yeah. Not much of a football program, period. I mean, seriously. I don't know, for basketball, not football.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. Well, no. Yeah,
that one wasn't bad.
Yeah, that was better. These receivers are not getting out of their.
What the hell, Joe? What was that?
Stop making Bo Nix look bad. Run your route cleaner.
Yeah, these receivers aren't running their route.
Yeah, you're making my Pookie look terrible.
Pop it. Like Pookie.
You're making my sugar plum gumdrop look terrible. Pop it. Oh my God, they're showing CJ Stroud's tape. Yeah, how phenomenal he was.
And again, the Panthers said no to it.
The Panthers sent their whole front office out there to see him, and they still said no. You deserve to be poverty. I don't care.
I don't know if you've ever seen, but I said the Panthers would win the next three years. Yeah, and I told you you were on drugs. Yeah, not to be that guy, but told you.
Like, yeah, well, we know.
And I also said 2 years ago that the Chiefs would be last in the division and won the Super Bowl.
I said that as well, so I share blame on that one. Which, in hindsight, that was a stupid take. There are some takes, though, that turn out horribly bad, where you're like, you know, it makes sense though why you thought that. But that one, I was like, what was I doing?
That was bad.
I
feel like every take I've had about my Eagles has been pretty spot on. Like last year, I was almost right again, because they had a historic collapse to not reach 13 games. And I literally said before the season started, barring a massive collapse, this team should win 13, 14 games.
And the year before, a massive collapse,
and they still won 11. I'm gonna say it again this year, especially with who's coaching them. You should win. Like, and I saw the schedule. There's no more than four losses in there. No way. You should not lose more than four games this year.
Whoa, foot up.
They shouldn't.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
But, you know, we'll see.
If they break my heart, I'm gonna jump into the Passaic River.
I thought you already jumped in it six times already.
Yeah, I don't know how I survived. I'm gonna keep doing it. You keep doing it until it kills me.
Shane, what are you looking for?
McCarthy, bro, where's that throw going, homie? Jesus Christ.
For me, it's...
Whoa!
Yeah.
Damn!
For me, it's, you know, making sure that the...
Oh, my God, he underthrew the back of a barrel. Underthrew it. Oh, my Lord, bro. Oh, my God.
We're distracted by Jason McCarthy's terrible play right now.
That's really low! Yeah, top 10 pick, all right.
So low, all right.
Look at the
Jake. I'm looking for the quarterback's anticipation when he gets rid of it, because you know this is one where that really matters. That's not good. And does he get it inside towards the out of bounds line there?
The last throw you guys will see, that was a good throw. Look at this.
Yeah, that's perfect. Just like that. And then I guess the other thing would be, you know, the receiver's control. How can he, stay in bounds and whatnot. That was great by Bo. Not so great by the receiver, but.
Yeah, the last one, the receiver was not tight at all. That screwed up the timing. Damn, what a catch. Bo got bailed out on that one. That last throw was not good. Bro, where is Sam Hartman throwing? Like, I literally watched him throw the ball. I'm like, that's a pick every single time. Bro, what are these? Sam Hartman might actually, like, Sam Hartman and J.J. McCarthy are having a battle to who has the worst combine of all time. Jesus Christ, bro. Wow, these throws are terrible.
What the hell was that?
Oh, my God. This is so bad. See, now Devin Leary, as the throws get deeper, he's hitting them perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, J.J. McCarthy, what do you got? That's a bad route. That's not even on, but the throw is also shit. Jesus Christ. J.J. McCarthy never, you know what? Find his quarterback coach. We're not going to have you throw the ball more than 10 times a game. Not happening. Let's go, Bo. Oh, man. Actually, that was right on the sideline. That actually was to the sideline. All right. Wasn't great, but wasn't bad. Sam Hartman with, once again, one of the worst throws I've ever seen. Oh, my God. Is Sam Hartman, like, smoking weed? His reaction time is, like, his reaction time. It's so slow. Oh, my God. Jay, my God. It's like him and JJ going back and forth. I'm like, who sucks more? Really? Who is worse right now?
What the hell was that? You look completely horrible. Jay, I could.
He's just shaking his head.
Top 10 pick, yep.
What?
Yeah, Harbaugh sitting in the stands. Yeah, is that your guy, Harbaugh? Yeah?
Oh,
greatest quarterback in Michigan history?
Man. My God, let Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin, and Steve Smith do this drill. Don't hit it every time. That's what I'm doing. This is sickening.
There was a flag football game. This is probably 10 years ago now. With a bunch of old retired NFL guys. It was like Marino, Jerry Rice. Dude. Marino, I mean, he was like in his 40s or 50s, but that guy, he was throwing dots. I mean, it was like, yeah. I'm pretty sure he would do better than J.J. McCarthy at this drill right now. I'm not going to lie.
Do you know who hosted that?
No.
Madden NFL 11.
Wow. That's not surprising. Yeah. I feel like it was more recent than that, though. Like 14, 15.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah. It was fun, though. I liked it.
Is this something going down your draft board, Shane?
I mean, he was already at the bottom, so he was already number 6. Now he's like number 7. I don't. No, I'm kidding. No, he's still 6. I mean, I'm looking at these other guys and Sam Hartman. Oh yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. No.
Brandon, Bo Nix impressions?
He can do no wrong in my eyes. Even if he looked like J.J. McCarthy, he could do no wrong. outside of maybe a throw here or there, he's been pretty good. I like what I've seen out of him. Every throw, you know, every throw's been on the money for the most part. I mean, he's obviously the most seasoned. His ball is perfect. It's like a perfect spiral every time. You know. I can't say enough about him. This is why I like him so much. This is why I think he's the most pro-ready, just like Shane said. So, you know, I have the utmost confidence in Bo. So, pretty damn good so far.
I have some really stupid MLS news that I think you guys are going to get a kick out of.
Oh, God.
So, there's a referee supposed to do Messi's game tomorrow. But he got caught wearing a Messi jersey out in public. So he can't ref the game. Great. Great.
What a dummy.
Somebody
is the deep ball now.
Somebody on Twitter just said, was watching Xavier Leggett tape, thought of the idea of him with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and now I can't stop thinking about it. I'm like, Leggett hasn't been good in this combine. What are you watching? He hasn't been that good. He's been okay.
Here's Drake May.
Yeah, I don't know
why. He looks stoned.
Yeah, he does.
No, he's like got that half smile, and his eyes are like really almost closed. Dude, that's a guy who's just high on so much weed. And he's obviously not, because you know, combine, it's all the drug tests and whatnot. But I'm just saying.
Well, they don't test for that anymore, right?
No, they do. No, at the combine, they do.
Oh, Jesus.
They test for everything.
No, that reporter is either wearing really high heels or she's very tall.
Because
he's 6'4", and she's almost, and she's like only three, four inches shorter than him.
Stacey Dales played for the Washington Mystics for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So yeah, she's tall. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't really be wearing heels on turf. That wouldn't work out too well.
Yeah, she's legit like 5'1", something like that. Oh, she's 6 foot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
By the way, I'm just going to say this right now. Stacey Dales has been really bad. At this combine. She's not going to keep up.
It's funny because doesn't she do it like every year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad Jamie heard all this. See, but I feel like we don't need this many interviews. That's why this thing goes like 7 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. I hate that I didn't see the linebackers. All right, Bo, what you got for me? Perfect throw, Bo! Perfect throw! Oh, can't get enough.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's gorgeous. That's
gorgeous. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
I think Brandon's hallucinating right now. Are you okay?
No, he's good. He's good.
This might be my wet dream.
Oh, that was a beautiful corner route.
Oh, it's so good. Why am I saying over a combine? I don't know. But you know why? Because my quarterback is doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam Hartman with a worm burner. Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know
what? No,
you know,
actually, no. No, you know what he does? He doesn't look like. That was awful. No, he doesn't look like Jesus. He looks like he should be in a grunge rock band.
Yeah. He looks like he could be Eddie Vedder's son.
That's good. Vedder's son.
Troy Franklin. Oh, that was not a good throw. Oh, Troy, don't crash and burn like that, buddy. Yeah, Leary's underthrowing these ones a little bit.
Whoa! He just tripped up.
Hey, he made the catch, so who cares?
Yeah, he's better than on the other side. All right, JJ, what do you got? Yeah. Sam Harper just threw a dirt ball. What do you got, JJ? Oh, boy, that's too far. Good. I mean, that's too far out in front. That's way too far to the sideline. All right, that second one was better.
Whoa, what the? Are we serious?
Is that a top 10 pick?
Right. Dude, I'm seeing so many mock drafts saying that the Raiders and Broncos are taking him at like 10, 12, whatever, and I'm like, there's a much better, so you know, JJ, he's a guy who has okay, you know, decent athleticism, very accurate arm, so you know they're like, and he's very smart, very. You know, so everyone's like, oh, well, yeah, they got to take JJ. And I'm sitting here going, Bo Nix. Scott does everything JJ does, but better. And, you know, he'll be available there. And so, but no, it's fine. You can take JJ, the national champion. Yeah, you know who else was a national champion? AJ McCarron. How'd that work out? yeah. Tim Tebow? Oh boy.
That throw by Bo Nix. Oh, chef's kiss. Yeah, Joe Milton, JJ McCarthy, Sam Hartman. Yeah, get ready to learn Chinese. Oh my lord.
I really like what Milton's done today.
He's been kind of inconsistent.
Yeah, but it's still better than I expected.
Yeah, look at JJ McCarthy's throwing motion. That is not fluid at all.
Harmon looks like he has a hitch in his step.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah, because Harmon's trash. You would figure that, like, the guy's like 26. How do you suck this much? You've had this much experience.
That's 26. Brandon, what's your thought on the chicken pizza at KFC?
It's just a chicken parm. Well, it is.
It is. I'd never noticed that. It looks good, though. I kind of want it.
You can make your own chicken.
Although, to be fair, though, when I have KFC, I always get the worst heartburn afterwards.
Yeah, don't buy KFC.
Yeah.
Eat fried chicken, eat Popeyes.
To be fair, though, that's the case with most fast food for me. I just feel like shit afterwards.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's everybody. That's not just you.
I know, but, like, I feel like a lot of people can stomach it, but I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. I have like, a cast iron stomach. Mine is straight up just, like, I could eat fast food out of a garbage pail if I wanted to. Wouldn't matter. I'd be fine. Like, most people talk about, like, Taco Bell giving them the runs. I'm like, okay, no, Taco Bell, I love it. So, it doesn't hurt me at all.
Oh, my God, I'm just thinking about this. The Roman ass as well. Oh, my God, guys.
Yeah, what were you saying? What ads?
The Roman one.
Roman?
You're rolling.
Yeah.
The vibe.
Oh. Oh, yeah, because, yeah, the one thing I want to do while watching the combine is have sex. Nor.
Well, yeah, you want to with Bo Nix.
I mean, I ain't saying no, I'm kidding.
I mean, if I've had enough drinks, no. Robert, cheers. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably as obsessed with Bo Nix as John Madden was with Brett Favre.
Oh, geez, John Madden.
Yeah. I look at Brett Favre on this play.
You go, okay.
Sure.
You guys know our Brett Favre trivia?
I mean, not for nothing. Bo Nix and I practically share a birthday. I'm like a week older than him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. The Brett Favre trivia.
Who caught Brett Favre's first pass?
Oh, I thought the questions were going to be like, what school did he steal welfare funds for?
It's Mississippi State.
His first, I don't know.
Wasn't that the running back? Or was it tight end? It wasn't. I don't think it was.
Peyton Manning. Oh,
my God.
I have no idea.
That far first pass?
First pass is a pack.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to remember the running back's name. Hold on.
It's not a running
back.
Damn it. I was going to say Amon Green, but that's not Amon Green. Oh, no. Why would it be Amon Green? Brett Favre is a little round longer.
I think it's first pass of the pack.
Was it? Wait a minute. It wasn't Sterling Sharp, was it?
No. Guys, go on YouTube and search up Brett Favre's first pass.
It was Tim Self. That's right.
It was Tim Self?
That's right. It was Tip. Then he caught it and ran. That's right. That's funny. I forgot about that. That's funny.
Hold on.
Dick Brandon's currently watching it.
Maybe.
His first pass completion to him and it's to himself, and he gets killed for it too by freaking four like Buccaneers. Jesus. Oh my God, man, that's so funny. All right, Leary, show the arm.
Go up.
Streak.
That's wild underthrow.
What are you guys thinking? Another 20 minutes?
Yeah, I was going to say.
And we call it an afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Leary. Underthrows galore. All right, JJ McCarthy, we know you don't have an arm, but let's see what you got.
I mean, hey, we saw the running back. We saw some of the receivers. We saw some of the quarterbacks. It's pretty good.
And there you go. That's where you don't have the arm.
This has been a
JJ
McCarthy standard.
Yeah, so.
Oh, my God. That's bad.
JJ, where are these throws, bro? Like, what zip code are these throws in?
They're in your zip code from where we're standing.
Oh my, okay, he makes one good deep ball.
No accuracy.
Good God, bro. Like, the first two are so overthrown, they landed in the next state. Like, Jesus.
The receiver just stopped for the last one. Oh my God, they're like a Michigan fish. Yeah! Our guy's sucking.
Yeah, Trent Franklin just took off before Joe Milton was ready.
I was going to say that was Troy Franklin's been a little rocky today.
Yeah, I'm sad about that because his game tape, he's so good. If you watch his game tape, he's so good. Joe Milton's got a nice deep ball.
Yeah, he really does.
Like the last two throws he makes here are pretty on the money. All right, Bo. Make me lose my mind. Oh, yeah.
I've never seen someone be more happy or happy on my mind. Just dots. Holy crap.
That second one hurt me. I know Bo has a good deep ball, and so it sucks that this is just these plays throwing to crap receivers.
Oh, Jesus.
The guy was just... That guy looked like he stopped running.
Yeah, that's why. I'm like, yeah, you don't stop running.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
Sam
stop
Hartman
making... Jesus. Stop making my kids look terrible.
Is he Jesus or is he Dave Grohl?
Hold on. How does everything just spell?
Was that McCaskey?
Dylan.
Conklin,
oh!
Devin
Leary, do you? Why does your deep ball suck? JJ McCarthy, my God, where is your arm? Like, JJ McCarthy, do you know how to? I mean, he only has to throw a deep ball once a game.
Whoa! That was really hot.
Bro, JJ, bro. Top 10 pick my ass.
It's not even the arm strength issue. It's just accuracy.
But the thing is, he never was, like, super accurate. Like, the guy would end up with, like, a 12.
Deep accuracy, that is.
Yeah. He has an arm. It's just that his accuracy is so bad.
Yeah, dude, Joe Milton's got a cannon.
Yeah. He's got a bomb for an arm. Yeah, that one throw he made that landed at the 20-yard line, that was a bomb that he threw. He threw that from the 10, by the way. So how far is that?
That's 70 yards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Ooh, 70-yard bombs. That is wild.
Damn, bro.
Like, look at that.
This.
Joe, I think
is ridiculous. Like his, I mean, he couldn't throw really short, but his deep ball is fantastic. Oh man! Oh, dude. Deshaun Jackson would have loved him back in the day.
I was gonna say, dude, put him in Miami.
Oh my God, that's like forget. You know, the Eagles ran four verts and it didn't work. Miami's playbook would just be running four verts all the time. Just go, man. Just go. That's a Josh Allen arm right there. Yeah. His arm is absolutely Josh Allen. Jesus Christ.
All right, boys. All right, boys. Any final thoughts before we call it an afternoon?
No.
How much longer does it go for on TV? Was it going until 6?
Yeah, like 6 yeah, Pacific.
Oh, God. Wait, Pacific. That means, what, 9 o'clock for me? What the hell?
9.
Man, it's too long, dude.
What the hell? Wait, when does this end on my TV? Oh, my God, it is 9 o'clock. Oh, no way. Oh, my God. I thought it ended at, like, 6, maybe 7, and then it just kept going. Oh, my eyes are burning out of my skull. All right, Bo, show me something. Go, Bo, go.
Whoa, yes. Whoa.
You know what I wish we could have? QB scramble drills, like throw on the run and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a perfect comeback rap.
Brandon, do you have any final thoughts before we almost stop here for the
day? You know, I I knew JJ McCarthy and Sam Hartman were not great, but wow, man. This is how you drop your draft stock. Forget dropping it like 10 spots. This is how you drop it by about 4 rounds.
They're not going to care.
Like,
they'll make excuses.
What the hell? Did you see that throw by Hartman right there? What the hell was that?
Yeah, watch the next one he throws. It's even better.
What?
Bro,
holy
he's
crap.
He's
this guy's so garbage.
Stands. He's throwing it 10 throws into the stands. Where are these throws, bro? My God, listen. I don't have an NFL arm. I'm pretty sure I can hit that. Oh, my God, man. Oh, JJ McCarthy, before we head out, make the throw. Make one. Okay, that's better. All right, JJ, you got one there. Get another one. Consistency is key. And a little bit behind, but okay.
One See, more I still think JJ. Here's what scares here's me. What I still think his draft stocks are going to move after today, even though it should move back.
No, the combine rarely affects it, I think. I think the combine, at least in my opinion, is more, it's not about like the guys who are already high and, oh, it's more guys like Milton who are a little bit slept on. And then we see this giant deep ball and we're like, oh, well, okay. You know, just these guys that we don't know as much.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I'm looking at too? Like the combine doesn't matter, but the pro day will.
Yeah, for sure.
Pro day is just as dumb as the combine.
Yeah, but they tend to take stock of that more because the guys are in a more comfortable environment.
With their receivers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually why Jim Daniels isn't throwing. He's like, I want to see you guys.
Bro, where is Sam Hartman throwing the ball?
The thing about... I don't like that because in the NFL, you're going to be throwing to new guys. So it's like, and you're going to be on the road in different stadiums, whatever that you've never been to. You're going to be in situations that are uncomfortable. That's why I don't really like pro day because it's just like an average day of practice with, you know, your old guys. I don't know. That's just me, but.
That was a really bad throw by Harden to finish it off.
I mean, yeah, which Hartman throw you want to talk about? There was about 70 that were terrible today.
He has such a weird hitch. I'm so
confused
by it.
His arm snaps. Like,
he always did. That's why he wasn't good at Wake Forest or Notre Dame. He was not a good quarterback. That's why Notre Dame scored 12 points a game. He couldn't throw a football. And Estime did all the work.
All right, well, that will be it for our combine coverage. Guys, we did like 3-4 hours.
3-4
hours?
Not
bad.
Four? No.
Almost four.
Almost four.
Almost like three. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was no way we could go all seven. Frick that.
Even if we could, I wouldn't want to.
Well, I think between stopping, I think between stopping and starting, I think we did like 3.5.
Yeah,
yeah.
My God, my eyes are burning out of my head.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, seriously, the fact that this goes on Eastern your time.
Oh, my God. My whole Saturday is shot watching this.
watching guys. This is the only time we're allowed to watch
I'm not, like, literally, once we get off this, I'm done watching it. I need to actually do something productive with my Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you, Shane.
Who's like, what an arm's length of me right here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hopefully we can see you soon, Robert. Oh, wait.
And to you, Brandon, thank you for joining us for the World Cup.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, as much as I, like, look forward to doing this, like, talking about the combine and stuff, I did look forward to it all week. Now I'm just exhausted and don't want to talk anymore. My throat is going on me. My eyes are just deteriorating. I'm devolving at a very fast rate.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, as much as we get excited about the combine, at the end of one week,
I'm like exhausted now.
I'll see you guys in about 12 days.
Yep. No, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah. That's always a good one.
All right. Dark Knight. Well, thank you, Shane. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for all you all listening. Hope you enjoy the rest of Sunday. Actually, this will probably be posted early Sunday of the combine. We'll give our thoughts on it. It's supposed to be free. But thank you all.
Thank you all.
See ya.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.